Bus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reese. Preseason poll season begins today in college football. The first coaches poll of 2026 will be unveiled at noon. The AP Top 25 is out next Friday at noon. The football Buckeyes begin fall camp on Thursday. We'll be live from the Woody Hayes Athletic Center for fall camp coverage Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. In other news, Notre Dame and USC will resume their season series in 2030. Following a hiatus that runs from 26 through 29, the two teams have played each season since 1926. In NFL news, the Falcons have made Bijan Robinson the richest running back in league history with a three-year extension worth $75 million. In baseball yesterday, Guardians were busy at the trade deadline acquiring Foster Griffin from Washington, Joe Adell from Anaheim, and Nathaniel Lowe from Cincinnati. This update is sponsored by Roosters. Roosters is giving away 12 Ultimate Buckeye Experiences, tickets, sideline passes, and trips to a Buckeye first-round postseason game. Register today at RoostersWings.com.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Tiberi here.
Oh, Reese came in and he's handed me papers.
Yeah.
And then,
it's a rundown.
And then he said, "You see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me." Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a Tuesday edition of the program. Bo, the boys with you for the next 3, 10 o'clock. We hit you with the real truth. Uncle Dom drops by at 10:30. 20 most interesting programs continues in the Big Ten, and we are in Bloomington. We'll hear a little bit about Coach Sig and all of those fun things. In the old days, kids, there used to be physical media. You see, what physical meant is you could touch it. And one of the things that was really cool about physical media is that it was permanent. You could grab it, you could hold it, you could touch it. And in college football, when I first started covering big time college football, 2001, 2000, somewhere in there, every college football team in America, and quite honestly, almost every team in America collegiately would put out a media guide. It's a physical guide to the team in question. So at the time I was at Florida State, it'd be a thick media guide. I don't know, a couple inches thick. I probably have some of them around here somewhere. And it would go through basically the full history. It was a dictionary of Florida State football. When I got here, same thing. They were awesome. They would put together these incredible, Steve Snapp would put them together. Jerry would put them together. They'd put together these physical pieces of media, and they were these books that were a yearly catalog and a yearly history of the program. And there were a couple of things that were in every one of these, no matter where you went. And we would get them for not only the team we covered, but you'd get them from all of the teams that you played. They were not too dissimilar, if you're watching on the stream, to this one I'm holding up here. This is very similar. This is one from Ohio State from years ago that I had laying around, and from the 125th season. So a couple of things were in every one of them. Number one, you were going to get a college game day shot. If college game day was at your school at some point, wouldn't even have to be that year, there would be a shot of the college game day set on your campus, and it would usually be a page that would say something like the amount of media attention that the program gets. So in those days at a place like Florida State, game day was there every year, at least one or two games. Obviously, we're quite accustomed to college game day being here all the time as well. So you'd get that image in there. The other thing that you would get is you would get a stadium overhead shot. And it didn't matter if you were the Shoe or the Big House or Happy Valley, or if you're App State, it didn't matter if you would have an overhead. I mean, this, I don't even know if there were drones at that time or if they used choppers, whatever. There was an overhead shot of a stadium. And
The story goes, and it's too good of a story for me to dismiss it, and I'm too damn lazy and old right now to go look in to see if it was actually true or not. But the story went that at Indiana, the day that they took the stadium overhead shot was the day that Ohio State played at Indiana. And the reason for that was the Reds were close enough. And it was the one time that that stadium in Bloomington was full, was when Ohio State would go there. Now, before Cignetti got to Indiana years ago, went to a football game in Indiana, and it was Columbus East, West. It's exactly what it was. It was probably 70, 80% Buckeye fans in the stands the game that I was there for. It was full. And that was just the reality of it. So to get yourself and to get even myself to a point where still 8 months later, we live in a world where Indiana went undefeated and Indiana won a national championship and Indiana had the number one pick in the draft at quarterback who also won the Heisman Trophy. To get yourself to a point where that is reality takes a lot of mental wrangling. It takes a lot to get there. It is impossible that Cignetti has done what he's done there. It is impossible in a previous era of college football for him to do it because he could not. He would not have been able to take his entire roster with him. His entire roster would not have been able to play right away had they left with him. In the old days, they would have had to sit a year. He would not have been able to benefit from the name, image, and likeness that they had at Indiana. He would not have been able to benefit from Mark Cuban and Shark Tank and all the stuff that comes with that. He wouldn't have. It was the perfect time for this type of hire, and then give them credit that they hired the perfect coach. They hired the perfect coach. They hired the perfect guy who had the combination of motivation, eye for talent, timing, all of it. They crushed it. And now they're in a position where they are consistently going to be, in my view, in this mix. They are consistently going to be one of these 20 most interesting. We'll get to them specifically in a little bit. But it is, before we talk about the Hoosiers at length a little bit later and their spot in the Big Ten and what they've done, it also has to be acknowledged the impossibility of what they did. Because there is no reference point for this. I've thought the longest time, I remember when they won it, I thought, God, is it like Gonzaga kind of coming out of nowhere and being a basketball power? No, I don't think so. I don't think it is that. You could say, you know, I've heard people say it's, well, like it's Leicester City winning the Premier League. It's a little like that, except if Leicester City stayed in Champions League and stayed in it. Leicester City had this one miracle season out of nowhere, are they going to stay in it? Maybe it would be like if Wrexham did it. If Wrexham like won the Premier League and then stayed up because they have the funding now and they have all of these things. There really isn't anything that you can compare it to in sports that I've thought of that is an exact apples for apples. It's that improbable. And for so many of us, so many of you who have grown up here and have this point of reference of Indiana football for what it is, it's a tough thing to wrap your head around. More will follow. This era will allow for it. We've talked about it. We're going to talk about it a little bit later. Some other programs, even this year, who could be in a situation, maybe not to win it, but to immediately be validated and take advantage of the current rules of college football. But I'm also not one to let this go from the standpoint of the impossibility of what he did over there. Because no matter how perfect the rules were, how perfect the alignment was on NIL, how smart he was at quarterback with Mendoza, no matter how it is, this is a program that 10 years ago took their overhead shot of their stadium for their media guide when Ohio State was there, because it was the only time they had a full stadium.
Indiana got incredibly lucky, but they made a lot of their own luck.
Yeah.
And that's why this isn't something you can compare in sport. And I think everybody who grows up in Columbus has grown up at least in Columbus over the last 30 years and kind of understands Ohio State and Indiana and the relationship the two have had within Big Ten football has heard that story. And yeah. So I think whether it's true or not, we all just kind of take it for what it is, a good summary of what Ohio State and Indiana has been over the last 50 years until now, where you have an incredible opportunity that was given to a guy who probably thought he had deserved it years prior. And that comes with an ultimate chip on the shoulder. And that's, I think, something different than other coaches have brought to their new locations. Like with Texas Tech and Joey McGuire, you know, they're trying something similar to, here's a bunch of money, here's a bunch of blue chippers, get guys out of the transfer portal, let's try to buy the best roster. He didn't really have that chip on his shoulder. I think that kind of sets Indiana apart from all of this, is how they did everything right, but they did it with a guy with a chip on his shoulder who had an incredible eye for talent. And that's why I don't think you'll see this happen again. Despite a ton of teams all over the country trying to replicate this, I don't think it can be done because they do not have Kurt Cignetti.
Reese, I think you, and I think this will happen again, but it's not going to be the norm, I don't believe, because you have to have the right coach. Yeah. And I don't know if Cignetti had a chip on his shoulder. I just think Cignetti is supremely confident in what he does and his system and his abilities as a head football coach. And we're going to talk about some teams that maybe could do that, but we've seen a lot of teams try, but they haven't had the right coach. And that's the missing piece in a lot of this for a lot of programs, is you have to get that right guy. And Indiana hit a home run with Kurt Cignetti.
It's almost defies logic that someone at his age could have that type of self-belief, having taken that long to get to this point. And you could argue when he took the Indiana job, it's the worst job in the Big Ten. It's on a short list when he takes it.
Worst job in the country.
It's on a short list. It's in the Big Ten, so you have money, so I guess it's not like, I mean, there's some worse ones probably in the ACC and Big 12, but yeah, it's on a short list. And for him to have the confidence that he had right away to do the press conference that he did, this wasn't someone who achieved this at 38, he's 60. Like, can you imagine the coaches he's coached under being like, God, is Cignetti ever going to not be so confident?
He saw all those Saban assistants all around him when he was at Alabama go on to things. And, you know, James Madison's not nothing, but it's not Georgia.
No, and he got it in his mid-50s. You know, late 50s. It's a crazy story. Last year at this time, Indiana was 100-1 to win the national championship. You're not going to believe who's 100-1 this year. We will get to that, and which teams this year could follow the IU blueprint. We get to that coming up next. We're off and running on Tuesday. Bishop and Friends right here.
ESPN senior NFL insider Adam Schefter joins Rothman and Ice every Wednesday at 12:30. And he works blue.
Okay.
The NFL Playbook with Adam Schefter is sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
Indeed it is. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We have plenty of sunshine in the forecast here for your Tuesday, with high temperatures around 85 here this afternoon. Winds will be fairly light out of the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. On your Wednesday, we're tracking high temperatures into the upper 80s, but also looking at the chance for a few showers and storms later on in the afternoon with highs into the 80s. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Well, it's getting there, kids. Ohio State fans, your first look at the 2026 Buckeyes is here. Join us Thursday through Saturday. Woody Hayes Athletic Center for the Ohio State Football Training Camp, presented by SafeLight, Bob's Discount Furniture. The fans' live training camp broadcast begin Thursday. T-Bone and Tyva, 6 to 9. Morning Juice, 6 to 8. We will be there 9 to noon. And then Saturday, the fans' sports Saturday spectacular with Reese, 10 to 1. If you want to go, secure your spot at OhioStateBuckeyes.com. Don't miss your chance to be part of Buckeyes Nation's kickoff to 2026. Gates open at 8 a.m. Practice kicking off at 9. In other words, we will have the prime spot, guys. We'll be able to keep an eye on everything that's happening those first 2 days at Ohio State camp. A season ago, Indiana was 100-1 to win the national championship at the start of the year. On ESPN, I just pulled up ESPN. I'm on that site anyway. It was the easiest, and so away we go. These may differ a little bit depending on what organization you look at, but at ESPN Bet or whoever does their betting at this point, here's what you got. There are two programs who are 100-1. You ready for this? Utah and the beloved ponies.
Oh.
Oh, God. Oh, God. The beloved ponies are 100-1. Come on.
You feel like putting 100 down on them?
What are we talking about here? Kevin Jennings, let's go, baby.
And out of those two, that's the bet.
For sure. For sure it's the bet. They're in the ACC. They got a returning quarterback. The other programs that are kind of in the vicinity of that, 12-1 or 120-1, South Carolina, Iowa, Washington. Clemson's 110-1. 90-1 is BYU, Missouri. Auburn is 80-1. Tennessee, 70-1. So there's some of them in there. Penn State, 60. Michigan, 40. Florida, 60 as well. So there are some in there. The favorite, of course, are your beloved Buckeyes at 6-1. Notre Dame is 6.5. Texas, 7.5. Oregon, 7.5. Indiana is 8-1 to win the national title. I wonder what they were to win the national title in 2024. That might be more like 1,000-1, something like that. Many have tried this since Cignetti was hired, to hire the coach, have him bring his team with him, and you basically get a jump start on a rebuild. Cignetti's the most famous and best example of this, but this exact same thing is being attempted this year at Florida with John Sumrall. It's being done at Oklahoma State, where the former North Texas coach decided to bring not only a lot of his talented players, but his quarterback with him from Drew Bastemaker. He comes over from North Texas. There are other places where this is the case. It happened at UCLA. Kentucky is a coordinator, obviously, but UCLA with Chesney as well, where he had success and now he's out there. So there are instances where people have tried this, and I think what they're trying to call it now in college football is, we're trying to pull a Cignetti. Like, you've probably heard that phrase, where you hire a guy who has a program and then he brings his best players with it. Heck, it almost got my beloved Bobcats. Brett Vegan, who's the coach at Montana State, was up for the Oregon State job. My guess is, had he gone to Oregon State, he would have brought a lot of those Montana State kids with him, and they would have played for the Beavers versus the Bobcats. So this is something that we have seen a lot of. Now, there are other ways to go about this. For example, Michigan State, we've talked a lot about them. They went in a different way. They did bring a coach who was at another place, but they brought a coach who had a great deal of success at another place, and now they're going to try to back that up with NIL. But when you look around the country and you think about improbable come-from-nowhere national championships or new coaches in a new place that brought nice players with them, who are some teams that jump out for you guys who could make this, not this jump, this is impossible, but who could be, go from kind of off the radar to front and center with one coaching hire or one change in direction of program?
I wonder about Auburn. Mm-hmm. with a couple things. Right, Alex Golish wins at USF. He brings some of his guys with him from Tampa to Auburn, and the SEC, at least in that area, feels a little open. Like Alabama, maybe a 3-4 loss team this season. Could Auburn be one of those teams that hands it to him? Now, I'm not saying Auburn's winning the national championship in year one, but could this be a similar thing? I'm looking at similar paths that Cignetti took to the college football mountaintop. Come from a smaller school, you bring your quarterback with you, you make some moves in the portal, then maybe you stack on a recruiting win or two, and you're able to put together a surprising first season. Then that becomes booster enthusiasm. We know the money in Alabama, at least, is more focused on Auburn. And so if you can galvanize that alumni base, that booster base, more behind you to say, this is our opportunity, the door is open for us to overtake the Crimson Tide, we need everybody rowing in the same direction, that could be what we see in 2027.
I love that you brought up Auburn, because that was one of the teams I thought about. Alex Golish did great with South Florida, heads that way, brings his quarterback with him, just about the whole wide receiver room, so they're going to have that connection right away. But he also hit the portal hard and got people from other places too, got guys from Ole Miss, got guys from some big schools that... I think Alex Golish is one of those guys. We talked about Cignetti being the right coach and a guy that's supremely confident. I think Alex Golish is one of those guys, and I wouldn't be surprised if Auburn becomes a power in the SEC again. When we first did this, I was thinking about two programs that maybe didn't bring in a coach from a smaller school but could capitalize on the NIL part of things now. One is Illinois, because I think Brett Bielema, and he got them to 9-4 last year. I think Brett Bielema is a good coach, especially for the Big Ten. There's a lot of money in Chicago, in the Chicago area, and there's a lot of talent around there, and they've had a lot of good players in the past. The other one I thought of was Vanderbilt and what Clark Lee's doing. Yeah. And you talked about that yesterday, flipping the quarterback, Jared Curtis, from Georgia to Vanderbilt. And then UCLA is one. I think Bob Chesney is a pretty good coach.
I do, too.
I don't know what the enthusiasm is around the UCLA program because they're in LA and there's a lot of stuff to do out there. But I wonder how UCLA is going to be moving forward.
Well, UCLA is an interesting one. I thought of them as well. So their endowment is somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 billion to $10 billion. So when you talk about, they have resources. If they want, you know, if they want to, they have them. It's just a matter of, do they want it? And that's kind of the thing that'll be interesting there. But I thought of them too. But they have some things that are going against them, obviously. Location is not ideal in regard to how far they are from campus and so forth and so on. And all of those things are very real. Aren't they playing, by the way, at SoFi? They're out of the Rose Bowl, aren't they?
I think that's right.
I want to say that turned out.
Would that start this year?
I don't know if that's this year or if that's one more year.
No, I think that fell apart.
Oh, did it? Okay, yeah. So they're still at the Rose Bowl? Yeah, I could see why they'd want to go to SoFi. I mean, it's closer, it's an easier commute than it is going all the way out to Pasadena, so that's a little tricky. Look, this isn't one where they hired from a smaller place, but I think a great example of this, you know, kind of at a different level is Penn State with Matt Campbell. I mean, Matt Campbell brought Iowa State to Penn State. That's what he did. He kept a lot of the linemen, but quarterback, a lot of players came with him from Iowa State to Penn State. And when you think about the schedule that they have at Penn State this year, Penn State is 60-1 to win the national title. Now, that's still, I wouldn't put anything on that because I think they have finite problems. They're not going to get there. But do I think Penn State could make the playoff? Yeah, absolutely. It's hard to find them going 10 worse than 9-3. I mean, if he does a job worth of salt at all, they could go 10-2. We'll do Penn State tomorrow on 20 Most Interesting. But when you look at the schedule and the talent brought in, away you go. And so that's the thing that you're trying to wrap your head around is, where are circumstances where the talent you bring in to a new spot allows you to get a jump start in a program? Cignetti didn't win the national title in year one at Indiana. He won it in year two. But he brought... the winning he did in year one allowed for him to get Mendoza. That's the key. You never get a second chance to make a first impression. Cignetti's first impression at Indiana was the playoff. Were they beaten in South Bend that night in the playoff? Yes, they were. Did he rest on his laurels? He did not. He went and got the number one quarterback in the portal, and they reloaded on the fly, and they already had a pretty good base. They had momentum, and away that you go. So that is the job for a lot of these new coaches in new places. Who can really reinvigorate an alumni base that perhaps has been asleep, who can get people fired up, and then if you have that success early on, players want to jump on board with it. So there are some out there that can do that this year. I think there are several, and I think we named several of the ones who can make that type of impact. The Buckeyes open camp on Thursday. They will obviously not be sneaking up on anyone. They enter the season as the favorite to win the national championship. Expectations are what they are. How do you get to those expectations and achieve them? We'll hear from some of the Buckeye players on that in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
So patchouli.
Sponsored by Apex Pros. The pros who knows.
All right, here's what's up on a Tuesday, inching closer to the Buckeyes opening up the 2026 season with practice on Thursday. We will be out there. You too can be out there as well and join us for that. It's always special. First 2 days of camp for us, then Reese will be there on Saturday as well. Get our first look at these Buckeyes. The thing that you're looking for, I mean, it's really early, but it's pretty cool. You get to see the entire practice. Very NFL camp type feel is what you're going to get out of this. Ohio State was, to my knowledge, the first to ever do this, and they're really setting the standard on elevating a program at the highest level and giving a true NFL experience to their players and their fans, quite honestly. For this team, they are going to start the year either number one or number two in the country. They are, as we just confirmed in the previous segment, the favorite to win the national championship. They will do so having lost three players in the top 15 of the NFL draft on one side of the ball and the first receiver off the board in the NFL draft as well. That's just what they do around here. You don't really have a choice to drop off. And so despite those losses, here they are again. They're here because primarily what we believe they will be offensively, although we'll get to some another slight for Julian Sain. We'll get to that in just a second. But that's a lot of what this is. They have the best player in the country. They have a Heisman finalist back at quarterback. They have the best player in the country in Jeremiah Smith. They have a defense that's been certainly buoyed by the portal, but also has some veterans who are ready to elevate their games. We'll see how high they can elevate it. They are expertly coached, obviously, by Ryan. And then the two coordinators are former NFL head coaches with Patricia and Arthur Smith in the mix. But this will come down to a couple of players. It'll come down to a couple of plays, as it always does. And that's the beautiful thing about being a Buckeye fan. You get to open every season and say, go win the national title. There aren't that many places that can do that. With that, though, comes noise, comes legacy, comes all of it. Probably the most, in terms of on this team, who has that noise is Jeremiah Smith. This is the cost of being the best player in college football, really, for the last 2 years. And maybe even when he was a freshman, he may have been the best player on the national championship team. He's in a position where if he just has a normal Jeremiah Smith season, which is extraordinary by any level, he will go down as the all-time leading wide receiver in the history of Ohio State. He will be a three-time consensus first-team All-American, and he will go down as probably the greatest receiver to ever play here. If he does just a little bit more than that, i.e. win a national title or a Heisman. I say a little bit more tongue-in-cheek, but those are the massive things that are out there for him. If he does that, then he's probably the best player to ever play here. And that's saying something because we've had a lot. Jeremiah, last week at Media Day over in Chicago, talked a little bit about blocking out the noise.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really focus on what's in the future. I focus on what's right now. And, you know, that's Ohio State football. And, you know, that's the team. And that's the main focus right now. I'm not really focused on the NFL and stuff like that, but trying to make everybody around me better. And that's what all the greats did. Tom Brady, Kobe Bryant, that's what LeBron James is doing. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to leave, you know, the jersey better than what I found it. So that's what I'm trying to do.
I think mission accomplished there. The other side of this, of course, is the defensive side. I want to hear from Jalen McClain. There's going to be leadership voids on this team after the massive losses on that side of the ball. Here's Jalen on stepping up as a leader.
It's something that coaches obviously challenged me to do, obviously because I didn't have to come in and obviously like do the most talking and communication. So I feel that was something I was used to, you know, while I was in high school. So now that I'm coming into that role, it's something I had to readjust to again at this higher stage. But obviously, like, you know, Peyton Pierce and Kenyatta Jackson, people are also coming back. And, you know, they're, you know, pretty vocal. They're stepping up to the challenge, and they've been holding people accountable.
We've got, what, four teams left for 20 most interesting? We got Indiana today. We've got Wednesday is Penn State. Then we've got Oregon Thursday and then Ohio State, right? That's
correct.
The end of it. We're you know, three-fourths the way done with this thing. How many teams that we've talked about would you say have a chance? I'm not asking you to go through and name them all, but what is the number that you say, okay, I could see them winning it?
That we have done?
That we've done.
Three.
And obviously the Buckeyes in Oregon will be on that list.
Three.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, three or four.
Because I thought Texas Tech, but they don't have their quarterbacks, and they're out. Yeah, three.
You got Texas.
Texas, Georgia.
Georgia.
Miami.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. We did Notre Dame.
Four.
I'm not there on Miami. I don't know. I think they lost too much on their lines.
I think they're a team that can.
They could.
If everything goes well for them. I mean, if Mentz is an upgrade over Carson Beck. But yes, replacing Hakeem Mezidor and Reuben Bain is very difficult. Will be.
I talked to Bernie about the Canes on Friday, and of course, he's, as he would be, he'd be pretty involved with everything they're doing from a football standpoint.
He should be.
Yeah, he should be, yeah. One of the smartest guys you're ever going to find. I was talking to him about Miami. Like, they love Mensa.
I mean, Tony and Fletcher,
they think Mensa is an upgrade from Beck. And Beck was pretty good last year for them, but they think that he was. I could talk myself in just a crazy way into LSU a little bit just with the talent. But then you start to get below that. I mean, what about Oklahoma?
Playoffs certainly, but I can't get there with them and LSU for a national champion.
I think LSU has the talent. I don't know if you can bring it all together, and their schedule is just going to be utter chaos and very, very difficult. But they certainly have the quarterback. They certainly, you know, they spent $50 million on the roster, so they have that too. It's just a matter of, can Lane bring it all together? Do you believe in him? I believe in him probably more than you two do. But at the same time, that could just be my bias because I find him interesting. That could be part of it.
So Sam Levitt is good, but he doesn't have a Cam Scataboo. So I wonder, like, is it skewed what he did because they had the Swiss Army knife, the Swiss Army knife of the last five seasons in college football? And does LSU have that? It's like a Caleb Downs thing. You have talent, but do you have that?
I think, Bo, you kind of mentioned it. I think LSU probably has the talent too, but are they a team?
Yeah, you're not going to know. I'm just curious on Levitt. If he's as good as I remember him being, or if that is because he was good in, what, the Texas game?
Yeah.
He was really good. What was that? Was that his sophomore season?
It was 2024, the 2024 season. I'm pulling up the game.
He was right really here. Good. So he is really good.
All right, so he went. No, he. you have it in your mind. I had it in my mind's eye different than it was. So they beat Iowa State in the Big 12 championship game. He went 12-17, 219, three touchdowns, no picks. But in the game against Texas, they lost that game. It was a quarterfinal. Remember, they got the bye. They lost it in double overtime. But he was 24-46, so 52%. He did throw a pick. He ran for 60 yards as well. So he was not particularly great in that game against Texas. Now, he was good some of their other games that year in 2024. He was good against BYU, ranked win, good against Kansas State, good against Utah. But it wasn't like it was look the heck out on him. And remember, and it's worth repeating, he was not the number one quarterback in the portal. That was Sorsby. Sorsby was the first chance of it. So you're betting on if Lane can elevate.
Just trying to think of quarterbacks in the SEC you'd rather have over him. Texas, Oklahoma, certainly. Trinidad, yeah, at Ole Miss.
Probably Georgia.
Brown at Auburn.
Maybe.
I would take.
We'll have to see that. He doesn't have the resume probably that Levitt does in terms of playing in the big games.
But Lenore, yeah. Sellers, would you want him over Levitt?
I don't think so.
That I don't know if I can do anything with South Carolina at this point. Like, what did you say their odds were? 100-1?
South Carolina, they were in the 90s, I think. Yeah, like,
don't put money on the Gamecocks. Let's stop. Just be done with them.
Here's some interesting ones as we're having some fun with this. Like, why would Washington? I just think of it from my head. I just think about returning quarterbacks, right? Why would South Carolina and Washington have longer odds than Clemson? I obviously acknowledging they play in tougher conferences. I get that. But, like, South Carolina's got the receiver back. They got Dylan Stewart back. They got Sellers back. And they're at 120. Clemson's at 110. Like, Missouri's at 90. Auburn's at 80.
I have heard two people now say, do not sleep on Clemson for this year in the ACC. And I'm like, if they didn't do it last year, if they were what they were last year with all that returning talent. But I've heard two people say it, and it makes no sense to me. But I'm guessing your point of they play in the ACC.
Well,
Washington and South Carolina, Big Ten and SEC.
1 month from 1 month and 1 day from today, Clemson opens against LSU. So Clemson goes at LSU, Georgia Southern, North Carolina, at Cal, Miami. That's their first month of the season. So it could all be cooked. Then they got Virginia Tech with Franklin, Florida State, and they, of course, end with South Carolina. I don't even know who's quarterbacking Clemson. I have no idea what their operation is like. It's been Klubnik for years. So, yeah, it's when you start having that conversation of who else can contend, who could make noise out of nowhere, that's where you get into some of this dialogue. And remember, last year the national champion came from an 100-1 spot. The Buckeyes open at 6-1, the favorites to win the national championship. A busy day on the diamond, or rather, I guess, off the diamond. Lots of trades went down yesterday. We'll get you updated on all of that. I'll get you updated on what I saw at Browns camp yesterday between the two quarterbacks as well. That's coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
It's a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to the Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
The show that understands the importance of a situational beverage. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And hey, guys, when it comes to making a big decision like the ring, you don't wing it. That's why I trust my friends at Diamond Cellar. Nearly 80 years, the family has helped generations of couples celebrate life's biggest moments. Exceptional quality, larger diamonds, and better value. And guys, here's the best part. They're going to walk you through it step by step. You know you're going to get it right. Whether you're ready to propose or upgrade, visit Diamond Cellar, Sawmill Road, Easton Town Center. Learn more at DiamondCellar.com. All right. I was, we'll do the baseball trade deadline. Let's do that now. What do I need to know? Anything? How'd we do?
The Guardians went as all in as they've had since 2016.
Oh.
I was thrilled that Foster Griffin was on the radar. I think they needed another, starting pitcher, but the fact that they also got Joe Adell, adds power and pitching. Then they got Nathaniel Lowe from the Reds and in one day added 28 home runs on the season. Like, Joe Adell's stats is 62 ribbies, his 16 home runs are both more than anybody on the Guardians' current roster. Jeez. And they got them all for prospects. So it was
so
great.
So that seems like a win,
great,
right?
From a Guardian standpoint, I think.
I was watching
They're
last
three night. Out.
Yep.
I was watching last night some of the Baseball Tonight coverage while I was doing stuff around the house. They loved what the Guardians did, and I think it was awesome for the Guardians, too. They went after it. Joe Adell was a guy that can give you some power out of the outfield, which is something you haven't had in a long time. Nathaniel Lowe is a guy, especially recently, that had been hitting really good for the Reds, and you gave up nothing to get him as a rental. So I love what the Guardians did, and conversely, I have no clue what the Reds did. Like, you don't sell.
They traded Nathaniel Lowe to the Cleveland Guardians.
You don't sell. You don't add. And you, like, traded for money, basically. It's that organization is maddening.
They test, right? They kind of test what they test the fan base. You know, that's a historically great fan base, and it's a tester.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to root for them.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if they didn't stumble into Ellie De La Cruz, how bad this would have been.
Ellie De La Cruz and Sal Stewart. And Chase Burns and Hunter Green, like, it seems like there's pieces.
Yeah.
They just can't win.
Do you think, Reese, that the Guardians, you said they were the most they've been in since 16, and I'm just looking, and again, I don't watch baseball, but just 30,000 feet. This actually may be more like 60,000 feet. I wonder if they look at the American League and just go, hey, this is kind of winnable. Like, there's no dominant team.
Certainly the Central every year.
Well, the Central for sure, but even beyond that, like, are the Rays are 20 games over 500. Their run differential is only 35.
Yeah.
Like, there are only six teams in the American League over 500. Total.
Yeah.
Total.
Three,
I mean, there are no.
In the East.
Just for perspective, so the Dodgers obviously lead the National League West. They have a plus 145 run differential.
They're okay. They're not great.
The Brewers are 134 plus, and the Braves are 108. That's in the National League. In the American League, the team with the highest run differential is actually the Yankees, who are in second place in the East at plus 81. The Red Sox are actually Detroit, oddly enough, is third, even though they're in fourth in the division. They're third in run differential. But I just wonder if you're the Guardians, if you're just like, hey, there's nobody great this year. Let's give it a go.
Yeah.
I think your point on the American League is pretty good, Bo, because yesterday Buster Olney said he would power rank the Guardians as the best team right now in the American League. And if you look ahead, though, to a series, and you can throw Gavin Williams, Parker Messick, and now Foster Griffin.
Yeah.
If you can throw those three guys back to back, I don't know who can match that. In the American League right now.
Certainly helps. They've got a weekend in Chicago. against the White Sox, who they're three back of, but you've got the Padres coming up. easy on power ranking them one. That's a higher or lower we don't ever have to do. It feels like the higher or lower from hell if we want to do August baseball power rankings. But the Guardians got better yesterday, and it's been a while since I've been able to say that confidently out of a deadline.
Do you know I have to go to a baseball game? I have to go to a game up there Wednesday.
You have to, or you
I
get
have to?
To?
Oh. No, I have to.
You're going
to
enjoy it so much.
No.
Yes, you are.
Two buddies of mine who we used to do a guys weekend thing. They're like, we're going to go to Cleveland. Can you come up to an Indians Guardians game? And I'm like, yeah, fine. I'm at Browns camp on
get to see the Mets
on Wednesday anyway. So it's the Mets. Yeah. So we're going to go on Wednesday to the game. So I'm like, you do realize I haven't been to a game in like 4 years. Like, I don't even know who's on the roster. So I guess I'll get to see some of these new guys on Wednesday. All right, we got a couple of minutes. Why don't we do a let's pretend Bo's a beat reporter of the Cleveland Browns and you guys can ask him questions. I was at Browns camp yesterday.
So yesterday was a Shador day?
It was a Deshaun day with
Deshaun
the ones.
Deshaun day with the ones. How'd he do?
Pretty good. The one thing that I would say the difference between the difference between Shador and the two other Browns quarterbacks, and really let's just keep this as a Shador-Watson conversation for now, is Shador will take chances down the field. Like right now, Deshaun is, I think, really content to just check it down a lot. Like if he throws it down the field, like sometimes he doesn't put enough air under it. And I mean, he's got the best arm by far. No question, he has the best arm. The ball comes out differently coming out of his hand than it does the other two. And I guess we'll just keep this to a Shador conversation. But Shador will throw the ball down the field. Watson had a pretty good day throwing it. Missed a couple of things. I don't think there were any interceptions. But the real issues was they just couldn't get anything in the red zone. They did a red zone drill where both guys went, and Dylan even had a couple of snaps. And I think not one throw in a red zone drill actually went to the end zone. Everything was check down, short, short, short. Nothing threatening the end zone. Shador will threaten the end zone, where Deshaun right now, Shador is willing to take chances down the field. Right now, it doesn't feel like Deshaun is as eager to do so.
I don't know Deshaun went with the ones. Are they going to do that every other day? It's going to be a different quarterback with the ones?
Today, it'll be Shador with the ones. So yesterday was a Deshaun day. Today will be a Shador day with the ones. And full day in pads yesterday. First full day in pads. So incidentally, no Mike Hall. He was out of practice yesterday. Carson Schwestinger didn't practice yesterday. So there was some of that too.
With that being said, who took reps with the Browns ones on the offensive front and DeJuan Jones? How does he look with full pads on?
He looked good. Everybody else was the same, but DeJuan was at left tackle. So today will be a Spencer Fano day at left tackle. Look, Spencer Fano is going to start at left tackle. He's going to be the guy. But I do think like DeJuan as a kind of Swiss Army knife swing tackle. And I wouldn't be surprised if at some point, if he's one of the five best offensive linemen, if they look at playing him at guard at some point and keeping him inside, because he's just too good to not play. But DeJuan had a decent day. Jared Verse is a problem. I mean, let's just say that. Like, I look forward to Jared Verse versus Spencer Fano today. Go ahead, Bick.
Is there a chance that we see Dylan Gabriel on the field this year?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's the most capable. He's the perfect backup. He's perfect because he'll run the exact, and he's had a really good camp. So yesterday, Dylan Gabriel did get reps behind the number one offensive line. So he didn't get reps with number one receivers. It was Larvadan and Wallace and Cedric Tillman were the receivers that were out there. But he did have the first team offensive line, and he did have Fannin. So they gave him three reps in the red zone with that. So Monken is rewarding his play. But right now, I'd say it's very close between Shador and Deshaun. The upside, I think, from a just physical standpoint, would favor Deshaun. Like, physically, he's bigger, faster, stronger, all of those things. But Shador is more willing to throw the ball and test it down the field than Deshaun is right now, or Dylan. Both Deshaun and Dylan, it's a lot of underneath stuff right now. So We'll see. But today will be a Shador day up at Browns camp in Berea. Second hour of the program coming up next. We kick it off with the real truth. Uncle Dom stopping by at 10:30. Bishop and Friends right here.
Casting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. NFL's Hall of Fame game is Thursday in Canton. The Cardinals battle the Panthers at 8 o'clock. Bengals and Browns continue training camp Tuesday. Both teams will wait until next week for their first preseason games. Earlier today, the Falcons made Bijan Robinson the richest running back in history with a three-year extension worth $75 million, 51 of that fully guaranteed. The 24-year-old Robinson was a first-team All-Pro in 2025 with 1,400 yards on the ground for the Falcons. In college football, Ohio State begins fall camp Thursday. Buckeyes will learn their preseason coaches poll position today at noon. When that top 25 is revealed, the Associated Press will release their preseason top 25 next Friday. And in baseball, both Ohio teams had Monday off. The Guardians will host the Mets tonight while the Athletics are at the Reds. This update is sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Locally inspired dishes and award-winning cocktails. Visit highbankco.com to make your reservation today. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
The best hair on the air. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, second on a Tuesday. Did you just say that they're doing the coaches show live at coaches poll live at noon?
So in a fun new wrinkle, the USLBM college football preseason coaches poll will be rolled out today at noon on the USA Today Sports YouTube channel.
Fantastic.
So today at noon, August 4th, you get the results, but only on the USA Today Sports YouTube channel.
There you go.
Or just wait till it comes out on Twitter, you know, in real time.
Do we get, what is it, Juracek, was that his name? Do we get him afterwards explaining the rankings and the coaches?
We have to have somebody.
Yeah, you got to have Juracek. Somebody.
Andy Ward-Manuel, that'd be a bad look.
We got to have one of those guys
explaining
it. He's
still the AD, why not?
Yes. He could still do it. He's done such a great job, they're going to have him stick around Michigan through the season.
Maybe Ryan Day can get up there and explain his vote.
What a mess. All right, let's hit the real truth. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present The Real Truth.
Sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years.
Buckeyes going to camp on Thursday. Arthur Smith will have the same impact on Ohio State's offense as Matt Patricia had on Ohio State's defense. Is that the real truth?
Sort of. Now, you're not... Do I think Ohio State is going to have the number one offense in the country this year? They absolutely could. They have the talent to be able to do it. They certainly have the ability to be able to do it. Will they statistically play that way? Probably not, is my hunch, that they will probably play more similarly to how they played last year, kind of limiting the amount of plays in a game. So statistically, it might not be there. But the reason I say sort of is this. I think Arthur Smith is going to allow Ryan very similar creative freedom with the rest of the roster that Ryan enjoyed in 2024 when Chip Kelly was here. So he's got somebody now who's been an NFL head coach, who's been a coordinator at an elite level, who he knows he can just turn the offense over to. He'll weigh in, but Arthur can go run the offense and Ryan can worry about the big picture stuff that's happening. So I think in that sense, absolutely, it can have a similar impact, because when Matt came in last year, the idea was, well, we don't have to worry about the defense. Matt's got it, and boy, did he have it. Do I think they'll be number one in the country and all of those things? I think it's certainly possible, but I think the impact that you will see from Arthur Smith will be just as great in that Ryan can completely trust Arthur and what he wants to do offensively.
So your point on Ryan Day maybe being able to be hands off a little more like he was in 2024 when Chip Kelly, I think that is probably true. But I do not believe this is the real truth, that he's going to have the same impact as Matt Patricia, because this is still going to be Ryan Day's offense and Ryan Day's philosophies and Ryan Day's concepts. Now, Arthur Smith is going to come in and he'll probably tweak those a little bit and he'll bring his own little bit of flavor to it. But I'm with you, Bo. I think we're going to see an offense for the most part pretty similar to what we've seen the past couple of years, where let's keep the amount of plays to a minimum. Let's slow this thing down. We've got a long season ahead of us. We want to stay healthy. And Arthur Smith has always been a two tight end, run the ball kind of offense, which Ohio State has kind of done the past couple of years with multiple tight ends on the field and stuff. So the impact is not going to be nearly the same as Matt Patricia. Mm-mm.
Resuming Notre Dame and USC should not cost us Notre Dame and Indiana. Is that the real truth?
So didn't Indiana bail first?
Yes.
So the backstory on this is Indiana was supposed to play Notre Dame in 2030 and 31, I believe. And Indiana bailed on it, which it's a bad job. That's a bad job to not want to play. Notre Dame and Indiana should play. You're in the same state, for God's sakes. Why would Indiana bail? Signetti just wants the easiest path?
Well, because it worked for him last year.
That's pretty easy.
I guess. Just make sure you... Yeah, I guess. It sucks, though, because that should be that way. Look, this is where I've been. If nothing else, I'm consistent on this. I don't think anybody in the Big Ten should play Notre Dame until they join the league. I think Notre Dame would add a boatload to the league from a value standpoint. A ton. I think they would immediately be right there with Ohio State as the biggest brand in the Big Ten. And it would be the only school out there that would truly enhance what they could ask for from a television package. They are the white whale. They should be in this league. This is now a national league. Some of their most bitter rivals and their most storied rivalry in the history of their program is now in this league. So when Indiana goes off the schedule, USC shouldn't jump on it, even if it is historic, because they should force USC's hand to join the Big Ten. And by the way, if you dispute anything that I just said about Notre Dame's brand, just consider this. They got more for their logo on their jersey than Ohio State did.
They're not joining a league.
That's what their brand is. So we can all dispute that they haven't won it since 88. Well, they haven't. That's not a dispute. That's fact. But their brand still is incredibly valuable. And to me, you should force their hand to join this league no matter what, above all else. So I think it's a bad job out of USC of not playing that, as much as I love seeing USC play Notre Dame.
Well, I was going to say the exact same thing. A day after Ohio State signed a $17 million deal with Chase for a jersey patch, Notre Dame signed an $18 million deal with SoFi for a jersey patch that will be on less jerseys, not as many sports. So Notre Dame would actually absolutely raise the value of the Big Ten and the brand. So, yeah, probably all these Big Ten teams should punt on Notre Dame. Now, they're not going to because that TV money is still for those games big, but you should want Notre Dame to come into the league. And this is the real truth. And it doesn't sound like USC Notre Dame cost us Indiana Notre Dame, but we should be able to have both of those games, especially in an expanded playoff, and especially when Tony Petitti and the Big Ten are pushing for 24. We should absolutely get both of those games and maybe one more. So this is the real truth. It shouldn't cost us.
No, and by the way, USC Notre Dame will not play. They played last year. They're not going to play again until 2030. So they're off the schedule for a while.
From the Notre Dame-USC news, the series will retain the traditional home-and-home format. Games will not be played at neutral sites. Non-conference college football games should be played home-and-home. Unless they're one-offs, then neutral sites are okay. Is that the real truth?
Yes, that's the real truth. Of course, I love Ohio State's current scheduling philosophy. I hope it continues. I love the idea that Texas was here last year. I love the idea of a Buckeye Nation trying to invade Austin the second weekend in September. I love the idea of playing Alabama and Georgia and Oregon before they were in the league and USC before they were in the league. That and doing it home and away. I love that. I love the idea of historic helmets running out in historic stadiums they don't normally run out in. I'd love to play LSU again. It's been a while. Love to play LSU, Baton Rouge, and in Columbus. Love to see that game. Love going to Notre Dame home and away. Would rather it just be in the league. But yes, 100%. I don't have a whole lot of... It's not quite as bad as college basketball, and I don't mind it if it's in the South as much. Like, for example, Clemson playing LSU in Atlanta... That's kind of a meet in the middle. That doesn't bug me as much. But when you have teams from two totally different places, like randomly playing in Dallas, well, that I have no use for.
I feel like Clemson, LSU should bug you because both of those are such great home
they are
fields.
Death Valleys,
great
both Death Valleys.
Scenes. One of the things we've talked about with the playoffs in his expanded playoff is getting big games at home sites, like Tennessee coming here in December and playing at Ohio State. I don't think that's something anyone will forget anytime soon. So, I mean, as many times as you can have games in these colleges' home stadiums, you have to do that. Like,
yeah,
is it cool for Ohio State and TCU to play in Jerry World? Maybe, but how much cooler would it be if they were in their home stadiums? So I would have them at home stadiums as much as possible.
Yeah, I love how Ohio State schedules now. I hope that it continues. I hope that they continue to have a big power. I mean, really, an SEC. I hope they continue to have SEC opponents on the schedule the first couple of weeks of the season. I hope that that continues. I think that the sport's better for those type of games.
The Cleveland Browns will not name a starter before their final preseason game on August 27th. Is that the real truth?
No, they'll name it before then. I would say your soft launch would be the Bills open practice, which should be on, that'll be the 20th of August. You'll have a pretty good idea the 20th of August. If Monken hasn't named one by then you'll have, because so the first preseason game is the 15th against Chicago, then they play the Bills, I think the 22nd. They have joint practice with the Bills on the 20th. So that's when I think that you would know. And I think the worst case scenario drop dead is the 24th of August. That's the Monday going into the final preseason game. So it'll be one of those two dates.
Yeah, I don't think that's the real truth. I think they will have one before then. And I think if they don't, and I understand if it's a true competition, which it is, and it is close, you want to try to get all the information you can. But if you don't name one, you're doing a disservice to your starting quarterback and your team.
I'll tell you this. Both of these guys need all the reps with the ones. Whoever they're going to go with, they need to get completely comfortable in this new operation. So, yeah, the sooner the better on this thing. The sooner you have a definitive answer, go ahead and name one and get rolling with it. We had Bill Bender on yesterday. The Sporting News released their 1960s, 70s, and I think today their 80s all-decade team celebrating 140 years of college football. What did they get right? What did they get wrong? We'll have a little fun with this coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer. The Beat with Austin and Berm.
Sponsored by The Waterworks.
Daily on The Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We have plenty of sunshine in the forecast here for your Tuesday with high temperatures around 85 here this afternoon. Winds will be fairly light out of the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. On your Wednesday, we're tracking high temperatures into the upper 80s, but also looking at the chance for a few showers and storms later on in the afternoon with highs into the 80s. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Darren White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. After putting up with Dom Tabari for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is, and we are proudly brought to you and sponsored by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. We had the great Bill Bender on yesterday, and he teased the Sporting News all 60s, all 70s. Basically what they did to celebrate 140 years of college football, the Sporting News, which has been around for all of it, unveiled all-time decades team for the 60s, 70s. They did the 80s. I think they're doing the 90s today. Ohio State not well represented in the 60s, so zero Buckeyes make the list. In the 1960s, it would be absurd for me or anybody here to get up on a soapbox and scream about the fact that there were no Buckeyes on the teams in the 60s, because what are we talking? I don't know. I can't tell you. I mean, that's the guys who made, like, Staubach made this team, who's essentially Captain America. He's the quarterback of this team. O.J. Simpson's on this team. Like, this is so far back, it's hard to get a point of reference on exactly who was great or who wasn't. So I'm not going to take a whole lot of umbrage with that. We're very well represented on the 70s. Arch makes it at running back. John Hicks makes it at tackle. Randy Gratishar at linebacker. Jack Tatum at safety in the 1970s, and that's appropriate. Now, if you think for a second that there's a position group in history that it would be very difficult to kind of nail down to, excuse me, running back in the 1970s, that's it. That's the list. Here are the guys who played running back in the 1970s. So they put Arch on the team. They put Earl Campbell on as a kind of an all-purpose guy, and then they put Tony Dorsett on the team. So that's the level of talent you're dealing with. Here are the guys who didn't make it from the 1970s at running back. In fact, they had five who were two-time All-Americans. Arch, Ricky Bell and Charles White, both of USC, Greg Pruitt of Oklahoma, and Billy Sims of Oklahoma. So all of those guys were on it. Other guys at the running back position during that time, it's absolutely stupefying the amount of talent that was at that position during that time. The 1980s team is out. There is just one Buckeye on this team. Now, there's another guy who I think probably should have been in this mix, but I kind of understand this too. Tom Toop is the lone Buckeyes to make the lone Buckeye to make the 1980 team. Now, most people would probably say, what about Spiels? And I think that that's the obvious candidate from the 1980s. Because remember, during the 1980s, Ohio State was not consistently a national championship contending team. There were a couple of losses on a lot of those teams. And I think Earl's best year might have been his first in terms of record. So the linebackers on the 1980s team, before you get in too big of a tizzy about Spiels, Derek Thomas from Alabama, Brian Bosworth, Oklahoma, and Shane Conlon, Penn State. Those are your linebackers.
That dastardly Bill Bender has the explanation, best position group of any position on this all-80s team, linebackers. This is Ohio State's Chris Spielman won the Lombardi in 87. North Carolina's Lawrence Taylor had 16 sacks in 80 before going on to be arguably the best defensive player of all time in NFL history. So,
and here's the deal on Conlon. He was a unanimous All-American and a two-time national champion at Penn State. So those are going to be the reasons that this kind of shakes out. The 80s team is pretty loaded, and this is when you start to understand, like, the talent level in college football is football itself, and the talent level in college football is really ratcheting up. They're all 80s defense. Hugh Green, Reggie White, Tony Casillas, Tracy Rocker at Auburn, Derek Thomas, Alabama, Brian Bosworth, Shane Conlon, Deion Sanders, Todd Light, Notre Dame, Ronnie Lott, USC, Benny Blades, Miami, and then Tupa is the punter. That is the first team defense from the 1980s. It's probably not a coincidence either, guys, if you want to get kind of big picture on this. Remember in the mid-80s was when you could show more than one game of a team on national television? That happens in the mid-80s. And that really set off where we've been now for 40 years, kind of building into being the second most popular sport in this country. The ability for a kid like me in Montana to see the Iron Bowl, my ability to see Ohio State, Michigan, that was kind of it. Those were the games. You got to see Red River Shootout. Like, that was a game you got to see every year, was Texas, Oklahoma. You'd get to see some of those games, but you couldn't watch them all. Well, by the time you get to the mid to late 80s, I'm talking 85 and more recent, now you start to see multiple games on television. And by the time that I'm a kid in middle school and high school in the early to mid 90s and all the way through college through the late 90s, now all of a sudden you watch every game you want. No matter where you live, if you want to watch every game of your team, it was on. You could find it. And I do think these teams kind of prove that out a little bit in terms of the amount of talent that was in the sport in the 60s, into the 70s a little bit more, into the 80s, it really starts to go. Then by the time you get to the 90s, now all of a sudden the best athletes in the country are playing this sport. And the talent level is really through the roof because of this incredible growth that the sport has achieved. And football in general. If you go back to the 60s, the NFL wasn't the most popular sport in this country. It was Major League Baseball. All of these things start to flip. It all starts to flip with television, and all of a sudden the sport becomes what it's been today. I can't take much umbrage with anybody left on or off of this from an Ohio State perspective. I think the 90s are going to be very interesting. You're going to get Orlando Pace, but will there be another Buckeye in the 1990s?
Yeah, as much as I want to yell at Bill Bender for this, there's not much, again, from someone who wasn't alive through those three eras. 90s will be a lot of fun. That's coming out today. You'll also get later today the 2000s, and then they'll do the 2010s on Wednesday. So a lot of fun with these the list season and ranking season that we have. But the thing with college football that it has paramount above anything, I mean, is the love for the alma mater and then the community aspect of it. And that's what's brought it through from the 60s, from the 50s to where we can be doing these kinds of conversations with this sport and can't for really any other.
No, and what changed with the 80s is if you are a Buckeye graduate and you chose not to live in Ohio, you could then watch the Buckeyes more than once a year. That's what changed. You'd watch every game, no matter where you lived. That all of those things changed.
I would love to, because none of us have any reference point on the 1960s.
No.
I would love to see what a Buckeye fan who knew Buckeye football then and college football in general would have to say about Paul Warfield and Jim Stillwagon on that 60s list. Because sure. Those are two guys you've heard about forever in Buckeye lore. And this isn't a Buckeye. How in the hell is Anthony Munoz not on the 70s team? That's a good crazy question. To me.
But, and this is something yesterday I asked Bill this, I said, how did you judge like who they were as pros versus who they were as college players? So the tackles on the 1970s, Johnny Hicks was a finalist for the Heisman. So he's right. They got that one right. The other one is a guy named Jerry Seesmore out of Texas. I have no idea.
No clue.
Maybe he was a great college guy, though. Maybe he was a three-time consensus All-American. I have no idea.
I know Anthony Munoz, I believe, missed most or part of his senior season, maybe all of it, with a knee injury. But he's the first guy, I believe, ever to start as a freshman at USC.
All right, so let's just play this out. Seesmore was a two-time unanimous All-American in 71 and 72, was on the 1970 Texas National Championship team as well. He was a third overall pick in the 1973 draft. So that's what he was. Let's see if Munoz has what he has from his obviously pro accolades are crazy. So he was a national champion in 78. Actually, Anthony Munoz was never a first team All-American, Bick.
I don't know how that's possible.
He was second team in 78.
Second team in 78, but he was never a first team All-American.
It's another good job out of Bill Bender just with when you read this and you go, this person should be there and that person should be there, and you bring out Anthony Munoz. He says in his 70s, toughest debate category, leaving Anthony Munoz off the team. So he does a great job at saying, here are the guys. Here's what I was thinking about. Because you can't really mention, you know, great offensive line play in that era without bringing up Munoz.
For sure. But from a collegiate standpoint, he's not the other guy.
Did you guys, I was out. It was the week I was in Florida. And I was just made aware of this past weekend that Joel Klatt did an all 21st century team. And no Buckeyes were on it. Did you guys see that?
No, I did the list. I don't.
Maybe that's something we can talk about later on because it's kind of interesting.
I didn't take too much umbrage with who he had, so I
think maybe we did talk. I think the one thing I was curious about that was like, so it was from 2000 on.
Yes,
we were wondering like should Chase Young or Bosa, and that was really kind of it. It was defenders.
Yeah, or Caleb.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe Jeremiah by the time all is said and done. Like that's
when we get to the end of his career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one that's tricky there. We'll do our weekly visit with Mr. Tiberi coming up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Bishop and Friends present Tuesdays with Tiberi.
Sponsored by CEC Turf and Tractor. Find your next Kubota tractor at CEC Turf and Tractor. Visit online at cecturfandtractor.com.
What the heck are you up to? It's August. It's football. You ready to come back to work a little bit or what?
Camp opens tomorrow.
Well, Thursday.
It's amazing.
Right?
Well, what is today? Oh, today's Tuesday.
I don't even know.
I don't know because you know what? I just don't know. Thursday. I was thinking today was Wednesday. It's just it's weird. Time. It's Margaritaville. You know? I mean, yeah.
Where are you? Are you in the South? Are you up here?
No, I'm up here. I'm here. I am going to go down next week.
Okay. Take the fam down and get in and swim with the Sharkies.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to swim, but I'll go catch them. I catch them and turn them loose.
Oh, you're friendly to the shark, even though you catch them?
I catch them and turn them loose, yeah.
Let me ask you
Yeah, go ahead.
More dangerous, shark or e-bike?
Well, if I'm trying to balance like I'm 16, the e-bike, because I learned my lesson.
Yeah.
You did that when you were a kid. You know, we used to ride the bikes like with no hands.
No hands,
and, you know, all that. And then, you know, you when you were young, if you fell, you were like the abominable snowman. You bounced. And today we don't bounce. You know what I mean?
I do.
We just fall. But yeah, I don't have the balance I once had, you know, my friend.
But were you pedaling or were you just coasting?
I was just coasting, going real slow, real like little slow circles. And
I see.
And the wheel, I turned it too sharply.
I got
and
you.
Next thing I know, I went flying off to the side, and I thought I had caught myself, but I didn't. And then my knee hit first, and then boom, I went down on my chest with all the power, and then I slammed my face into the pavement.
Thank God I had a helmet.
I had a helmet on. I hit the top of my head, but the helmet, I cracked the helmet. I hit so hard.
Well, you're hard-headed. It's not surprising. Let me ask you this.
Well, thank God I didn't have to pay for the road. Huh?
In your life, you go to ocean vistas. As long as I've known you, you've gone south for a little week down near the ocean. I'm curious, how many shark-related instances have you had in all of that time?
Lot.
No, where they've attacked you.
Well, no, I don't give them a chance, because if you don't get in the water, you have no chance.
Okay, but how many sharks have attacked your children?
I don't know, because
none is the answer. Right. How many e-bike attacks have you had?
I've had one.
How long have you had an e-bike?
For 4 months.
Okay. Yeah. The prosecution rests.
But
you need to be far more worried about this e-bike than you need to be worried about these sharks.
Look, counselor, I'm not saying I won't. When we were in Aruba, after four Aruba Aribas, I went snorkeling like it was Jacques Cousteau. And at that point, I didn't really care, right?
You're fine. It's like, what the
hell? Me and Don Vito, Uncle Tony, we got in. And
That
was
great.
Quite the sight, me and Uncle Vito. You got to meet Bazzuti. He is a modern-day Don Vito. If you remember Bam Mangero.
Yeah, I do remember, yeah.
And you remember he had the uncle
Don Vito.
Don Vito. This dude is a new Don Vito. Fabulous. He's great.
Yeah, I do need to meet this guy.
And he's a hell of a basketball coach. He got 500 wins last year.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. All right. I need to meet this guy.
You will like him. Yes.
Are you excited? I mean, it's August now. We're inching closer to football season.
You know what I'm more excited about anything? And, you know, everybody talks about the defense, and everyone talks about, you know, hey, the new running game. I'm excited to see the next elevation of Julian Sain. Mm-hmm. This kid was a Heisman finalist a year ago, and I really believe he's going to have a breakout year this year. I think that he's added some weight to his program. I think that he's gotten a little bigger when you see him. I think he's got a different demeanor. He's got that leadership quality that I like, that you want to see out of a quarterback, called a little bit of a cockiness that I like.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that he's going to add the run to the game. I think we're going to see him run this year. I don't know how healthy he was last year. People were very critical of him down the stretch. But he took some hits, and I don't know how healthy he was, but I think he's bigger, stronger, faster, healthier. Let's not forget, this guy's got a great arm. He sees the field, and I just am excited to see him take the next elevation. Obviously, there's going to have to be a lot of things clicking around him. The offensive line, which I think is going to be elite. I'm a big fan of those guys. They came back. And there's a cockiness with those guys. There's the nastiness with them. I know we're all excited about what we're going to see with the new offensive coordinator and what he's going to do with the run game. But to me, the most exciting thing that I can't wait to see is how Julian steps into that role and you know, distributes the ball to the best receivers in the country.
Well, he's, you know, he's one of the rare Buckeyes that you can say is disrespected a little bit. Like, I don't see him on a lot of these first round pick prognostications for next year's NFL draft. And there's actually a piece today on ESPN. Bill Connolly did the 40 most important players in college football this year, and he wasn't on that list. There were some that were, but there were a lot of quarterbacks that were, but Julian wasn't on that list as well. And for a kid who completed 77% of his passes, who was a Heisman finalist, that's kind of crazy that he's not making those lists. So I think he's kind of one of those rare Buckeyes. It's hard to disrespect the Buckeyes. You get a lot of love when you play at Ohio State, but it feels like he's being a little bit disrespected this offseason.
And to be honest with you, I couldn't agree more, and I kind of like that. I think that will help him only fire his fuel. But, you know, everyone thinks this is going to be a one and done. I would love to see the guy not only light it up this year, but come back next year. Weird things have happened with the game of college football in the NIL world. Let's not forget, the guy has played 1 year, And, you know, I think we can agree that, you know, playing quarterback at the next level is not that easy. And, you know, I think, you know, if you know, obviously if this guy has the kind of year we think he is and he's the first round pick, he wins the Heisman, he doesn't have a choice. But I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that this is going to be his last year either. I think he's going to have some decisions to make.
Well, and it doesn't have to be anymore. And that's one of the beautiful things of NIL is, I mean, Julian's making millions here. So right. He can continue to, he doesn't have to do it for the money, not that he needs it anyway, but like that, there used to be this thing, well, you have to do this and now you don't. You can stay here,
right,
and stay in college, and you can still make an incredible amount of money without going to that NFL money. So it's now a more real option than it was previously, my friend.
Yeah. And so I would say number one, what I'm most excited about is him. Number two, I like what I'm hearing coming out of the Jeremiah Smith camp. I like his attitude, and this kid is hungry. He wants to win it all, and I'm predicting this will be his last year. And he's kind of acting like that.
Yeah,
I mean, so. But I just want to see him, you know, really light it up this year, which I think he will. And, you know, we've got some newbies coming in. I'll be interested to see how Brandon Ennis fits in. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's to me, I want to see this offense, you know, really light it up in both running the football and throwing the football. And it's all going to start with Julian saying, and, you know, I think it's funny, you know, it's not like I'm giving you any kind of magic words here. I mean, it's like Urban Meyer says, the quarterback is the most important position on any football team, be it grade school to the NFL. And that's the fact. And it all starts with, you know, Julian. And I just like his attitude. I got to spend some time with him on the Buckeye cruise. He's just a quality young man. There's a lot to like, but I just like his demeanor now, and I like the leadership that I'm seeing out of him.
You going to bring the grandbabies to Buckeye camp Thursday or Friday?
I don't know about that, but I'm going to go over Thursday.
Well, I'll see you. I'll see you over there. My two littles are going to be there running around. So,
are you doing a show there?
Yeah, I'll do this show there.
Are you going to
do it on
there?
Friday too? Yeah. Yeah,
maybe,
I'll see you.
Maybe I'll come by and see you. Yeah.
Well, that'd be fine. You're welcome, as always.
Yeah.
You're always welcome.
What time are you going to be there? 9?
I do this show 9 to noon.
I didn't know.
Every
day. I just wanted to see. I just didn't know you're Bo Bishop. Yeah. You kind of can go when you want.
Well, I mean, we've doing this is like 9 years I've been doing this 9 to noon now. So we like to kind of stay pretty consistent with our time.
Yeah, I didn't know.
It'd be something
if I did a
3 to 6 at Buckeye Camp when practice was over.
Well, you can do whatever randomly. You want. You're kind of like Prince, you know? Maybe you're going to change your name to just a mark. I don't know. What would your mark be if that was your name?
I'm Maltasante at best. At best.
Like a question mark there. My name is now a question mark, you know?
Get the heck out of here.
You do.
I'll see you Thursday.
All right. I might bring Don Vito with me. Goodbye.
Well, easy on. Jesus. Don Vito's coming. Do you think do you guys know what happened to, it didn't end well for Don Vito the Viva La Bam guy. Bit of a problem with the post Viva La Bam Don Vito, to say the least. Not great. We'll get a little thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here on the
old days when people lived to be 40. You only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses, The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Bo could quit today and become the school drop offline coordinator. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Tuesday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Okay, Reese, hold on. Before we get to what we got planned, I got to go back to Dommy here a little bit.
Yeah,
two thing or not a things. Thing or not a thing, Dom Tiberi breaking the news that Jeremiah Smith is going to be playing his last season at Ohio State. Or not a thing, that Dom Tiberi turned to your wife and doesn't know when this show is on.
It's no idea. It's no idea. When are you going to be there?
9 o'clock?
We're going to do 6 to 9 just to keep everybody on their toes.
Just going to randomly decide at Ohio State training camp to change the show schedule.
Just a new show time.
Oh, this is Jeremiah's last year. I didn't know that. Thank you.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Oh, I love him. Tommy. I can't wait to see him Thursday.
We'll hear next week about Texas and that big game week two. Sure, when the Buckeyes go to Austin, something we're all going to want to pay attention to. On Monday, college football's Brett McMurphy, who reports for On3, had this. Costco selling discounted tickets for South Carolina, Washington, Louisville, Tulane, FAU, Temple, and UConn home games and other teams. Tickets vary between $11.99 for all FAU home games to $202, Indiana at Washington, Penn State at Washington. He adds, some include $20 food beverage credits or parking passes. Thing or not a thing.
Pretty smart thing for a lot of these places, and you know, I think what you could go ahead, it'd be low hanging fruit to like make fun of South Carolina and Washington and Louisville and programs like that that are relatively big programs with big fan bases. But if you look at the prices on this, it doesn't seem like the tickets are. I mean, FAU is $12. That's a little different, but like the Indiana Washington, that's $202 is the face value at Costco. So it's not like they're giving these things away. So I just think teams in general, I mean, we're not immune to this. You've seen Buckeye games in the last few years that aren't sold out if it's not one of the big time opponents. We've said for years that the stay at home experience is really pretty great. And it takes a lot to get you to spend. I mean, just think of that family of five. To go to Indiana at Washington, if you buy that at Costco, that's $1,000, and you haven't bought a drink, a snack, memorabilia, nothing, and you're out $1,000 on a face value. So it's just expensive for a lot of folks and for everybody. And so to me, you're only going to see more of this. Be creative when it comes to making sure that the stands are predominantly full.
I think this is a thing on a couple levels, and I guess one question I would ask, are these Kirkland tickets that Costco is selling for these games? Is there some kind of different value to it? But yeah. The one that you mentioned there was the Indiana-Washington game, and I know that's not an Indiana home game.
Yeah.
But 3 years ago, would an Indiana at Washington ticket been $200?
Nope.
I don't think so. So there's one thing that's a thing. And then, Bo, you just mentioned it. Costco's part of the problem why it's hard to sell tickets, because you can get a 75-inch TV and a sweet sound bar and a nice chair to sit in for all under $2,000. So it's tough to spend $1,000, as you mentioned, for your family of five just to get in the door when you can just sit at home and enjoy it just as well. So
I was curious the number you were going to go on that, like what your number was going to be as someone who goes to Costco every week. You nailed it. That's the number. You can 100% get a TV, a 75-inch TV for $1,000, a recliner for $400, and a sound, you probably less than $2,000, and a sound bar for $200. Pretty easy. You might get two recliners. You could go the old Friends setup with Joey and Chandler, two recliners in the main living room.
And you can get some kind of cool football tray to put all your snacks on.
That's right. It's all there for you.
I saw this in the break regarding Bo's Carolina Panthers, who are going to be playing the Arizona Cardinals Thursday in the Hall of Fame game up in Canton. Panthers head coach Dave Canales announced Monday Kenny Pickett will be the starter for the Hall of Fame game Thursday. The Arizona Cardinals have yet to name a starter, with Mike LaFleur choosing to keep those cards close to his chest. Thing or not a thing?
That's not a thing, but I'll tell you what is a thing. That Kenny Pickett spent the entire offseason last year as the presumptive starter of the Cleveland Browns, then hurt, was it his hamstring, in the first couple of days of camp, and went from presumed starter to gone. Vaporized. In no time. He spent the whole offseason like he was going to be the starter. And then they were like, actually, Dylan might be better, and we know Flacco's better, so let's just do that. Pretty wild circumstances. Life comes at you fast if you're Kenny Pickett, because he was definitely set up. Like, if he doesn't get hurt the first week of camp last year, does he end up starting most of the season? Who knows? And now he's starting in the Hall of Fame game for another team.
Yeah, I don't think this is much of a thing. Bryce Young is the quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, and that isn't changing. What would be a thing, though, is if the Hall of Fame plays a tribute video for Kenny Pickett for all of Northeast Ohio. Now, that would be a thing.
Do you think the Hall of Fame game owes it to the Hall of Fame? The NFL teams owe it to the Hall of Fame to have the starters play a series?
I think they should.
Yeah, just one. At least some star recognition for this thing.
Yeah, like, no, don't hit. Like, just, I mean, you don't, I don't even care if you just, like, softly tackle to the ground. But, like, just send out Bryce Young and, you know, let those guys live. That, by the way, as Hall of Fame games go, that one doesn't have a lot of juice. It's Carolina, Arizona.
Is there going to be any bets on it in your household?
Wow. No, I'm never betting on Carolina ever.
Because with Arizona, you've got Gardner Minshew, Carson Beck, Keaton Slovis, also Jacoby Brissett on their roster.
So, I mean, you get to see Beck.
Could be fun.
Yeah.
Kind of. Not necessarily enough for a Hall of Fame game. On Saturday, a 69-year-old Wisconsin man landed his helicopter at a Cabela's in Richfield. The man was questioned by sheriff's deputies and said he flew the helicopter there because the drive was too long. The man was properly licensed, landed safely, complied with all applicable FAA regulations, and took the time to answer the deputy's questions regarding that helicopter landing and the requirements. The sheriff's office there added that there were no violations or arrests, just a, quote, unique way to make a shopping trip to avoid all the roundabouts in front of Cabela's, end quote. Thing or not a thing?
I've got questions. So, is there a landing pad at the Cabela's in Richfield, Wisconsin?
I mean, like, a Cabela's parking lot is so big that
there I understand,
plenty of room.
All right, let's just say Little Bake's out to go get some fishing tack, and you're going to park at the Cabela's. Where do we have one? We got one at, is it Polaris?
Polaris. Cabela's, yep.
Okay, all right, so let's say you go to the one at Polaris, and you're going to get some fishing tack, and you go to park, and it's a big parking lot there, and you go to pull in, and all of a sudden you look up, and a chopper's coming down and landing next to you. I mean, I think, doesn't there have to be a designated spot for chopper landing, legally? Now, my only experience in a chopper is with Chopper 10 for high school football all those years.
And I did landed on baseball fields.
We did land on baseball fields. We landed on baseball fields, practice football fields. You know, with Terry Alt, you can land wherever you want. But I don't, I mean, we'd always have to call and make sure we'd talk. I mean, he would do it. I say we. I didn't do anything. But he would call and make sure there were safe places for us to land and that the spaces were clear. I guess just I'm shocked that there's, that this is just okay. Like, if you have a chopper license, you can just land anywhere?
I got to tell you, if I ever won the lottery, you wouldn't know, but there would be signs. This would be a sign. Like, if I had a chopper and could fly it, I have no use for a car. I'm taking that thing everywhere. Like, you can have your expensive watches. You can have your expensive cars. You can have your nice houses. I'm flying not a bake. Helicopter to the grocery store.
Bill Burr has a great bit on Comedians in Cars with Seinfeld, where he got his chopper license because he was worried about, like, an apocalypse. And the reason he got it is because he has this great bit. I can't possibly do it as well. But he goes, you're up and out with a chopper. Like, up and out. I'm gone. I thought that was pretty good. That works. 20 most interesting turns begrudgingly to Bloomington. Can he do it again? Year three at Indiana. They are now a national power. They are national champions. Can they have an encore this year? We will get to Indiana. 20 most interesting coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on
broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The 2026 College Football Coaches preseason poll comes out today at noon. The AP preseason top 25 is out next Friday. Football Buckeyes begin fall camp this Thursday. We'll be live from the Woody Hayes Athletic Center for fall camp coverage Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. In the NFL, Tuesday, the Falcons made Bijan Robinson the richest running back in history with a three-year extension worth $75 million. The 24-year-old Robinson was first-team All-Pro in 2025. The NFL's Hall of Fame games Thursday in Canton. The Cardinals battled the Panthers at 8 o'clock. Bengals and Browns continue training camp Tuesday. Both teams have next week for their first preseason games. In baseball Tuesday, Guardians host the Mets at 6:40. Same time in Cincinnati, the Reds battle the Athletics. Hear that one on The Fan following the Buckeyes show. This update is sponsored by TurboTrack Realty. Done with that property? Call John Kozik at TurboTrack Realty for a cash offer. 614-472-2000.
Offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Ohio State fans, your first look at the 2026 Buckeyes is here. Join us this Thursday through Saturday, the Woody Hayes Athletic Center for the Ohio State Football Training Camp. It's presented by Safe Light Bob's Discount Furniture. We will be live, everybody. T-Bone and Tyva, 6 to 9 a.m. Morning Juice, 6 to 8, 9 to noon for us. Uncle Dom, Saturday, the Fan Sports, Saturday from 10 to 1. If you want to go, you can secure your spot today at OhioStateBuckeyes.com. Don't miss your chance to be part of Buckeye Nation's kickoff to 2026. Gates open at 8 a.m. Practice kicking off at 9 a.m. 20 most interesting lands in Bloomington. Hit it, fellas.
We'll expand conferences. We'll expand the playoffs, but we'll never, ever expand our interests. Bishop and Friends present the 20 most interesting programs.
The defending national champion Indiana Hoosiers are in the crosshairs today. A magical season, the likes of which we've never seen in college football previously. A perfect season, a near-perfect quarterback in Fernando Mendoza that won the Heisman and then went on to be the number one overall pick in the draft. They did it emphatically. I mean, guys, they beat the brakes off of Bama. You want to know the best possible example of a changing of the guard in college football? That's probably it, what they did to Alabama in the playoff. Their schedule this year, pretty light sauce, guys. Pretty light. North Texas, Howard, Western Kentucky, Northwestern, Rutgers, Nebraska before the Buckeyes on October 17th. They will absolutely be 6-0 heading to that game against the Buckeyes in Bloomington, which will be one of the biggest games they've ever had there in Bloomington by the time you think about it. That's probably a top five matchup for both, depending on what happens here with the Bucks. In terms of who's returning, they return five starters on offense, four offensive linemen, a wide receiver as well, six on defense. The interior of their defensive line, which was very, very good returns, a couple of their linebackers, a corner, and a safety. They were aggressive in the transfer portal, as is customary in the Kurt Cignetti era. They landed Nick Marsh, who was somebody that a lot of people wanted out of Michigan State. The headliner is Josh Hoover, the quarterback from TCU. He comes in. Joe Bruner comes in from Wisconsin. Brock Schott comes in from the U. So they were aggressive in the portal. They got two of Luke's starters from Wisconsin or now at Indiana. That's how backwards all of this has been in terms of what's happened at Indiana. Couple of defections, nothing that I think jumps out too much to me. Recruiting, they're not really doing it there. 38th overall in recruiting, but they are 8th in transfer portal class ranking, so Cignetti's going to continue to live in that world, combining for a number 2 overall inflection of new talent. Cignetti's record at Indiana is a supreme 27-2. He is 146-37 as a head coach. It reminds me a little bit of Tress when he got here, in the standpoint of, like, sometimes guys just know how to win, and it doesn't matter what level they win at. And then they get a big job. This job, obviously, a lot different than that one, but the time when Cignetti took it versus the time when Coop took this job. But sometimes guys just have it in them to win, and Cignetti has it. To me, guys, this is just going to come into almost entirely down to Hoover. They hit the lottery with Mendoza. Hoover last year at TCU started out gangbusters. I think we all remember their opener at North Carolina. That was the Bill Belichick opener last year. He went 27-36, 284, two touchdowns and a pick. He lit up the beloved Ponies, 22-40, 379, five touchdowns, one pick. In fact, his first three games, there's even a little bit of conversation with him and the Heisman. Comes back to earth against Arizona State. Kind of an up-and-down season after that. Was pretty bad down the stretch, though, for TCU. They lost two out of three to Iowa State, lost to BYU, then they beat Houston. But in those games, 34 of 50, 319, a touchdown and two picks, 10 of 23 in a loss to BYU, 44-14. He was 10 of 23 with two picks. And then in a win against Houston, he was 24 of 33, 293, two touchdowns, three picks. So in that three-game stretch, you're talking about seven interceptions, three touchdowns in that stretch. Now, Cignetti has been a little bit of a quarterback offensive whisperer there, but if you pull up their R-Lads and you just look at their roster and you put Nick Marsh in there, they got Turbo Richard comes in at running back. He comes in as well. This will just come down to Hoover because the offensive line is largely intact. You know they're going to be coached well. And the beautiful thing, because of their schedule, which is just a clown show, their schedule is such a clown show, they're going to have really 2 months to get up to speed.
Yeah, he's elevated quarterback play every single year he's been in Indiana. And I'll even argue he's elevated quarterback play wherever he's gone because he's won everywhere he's been. Curtis Rourke, great at Ohio, excellent at Indiana. He's dealing with an injury in the latter part of his final season. Fernando Mendoza comes in from California. Everything's better in Indiana, like you'd have mentioned. He propels to the first overall pick in the draft after winning the Heisman Trophy. So you kind of expect the same thing with Josh Hoover. You know, they've given him better weapons. They got a Shanahan coordinating that offense. It was really smart of Indiana to lock in their coordinators with extensions during that college football playoff run. And, you know, Cignetti's kind of the perfect CEO, but also football guy in all of this, where he can connect with everybody and everything. And they feel connected from an NIL standpoint. And it's the perfect storm. And I'm confident saying it'll never be replicated with what Indiana's been able to do in 2 years. Can they repeat in year three? Probably not, just from what recent history's told us about national champions and how now there will probably be another team that doesn't come out of nowhere but is inserting themselves into a national championship game for the first time in a little bit of time. I just think that's where we're going in the sport.
Yeah.
I do believe the beginning of their schedule is soft, but they have a pretty tough five-game stretch that starts with the Ohio State game on October 17th. Then they're at Michigan. Then they play Minnesota. Then they have a bye week. Then they host USC and then go on the road to Washington. I find it very hard that they don't come through that five-game stretch unscathed and maybe even get two losses on the record there. But that would put them back in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
So Cignetti is doing a heck of a job there. I also think it's ironic that this team with Indiana this year, it kind of feels like definitely their leader, their team leader is Carter Smith, who is an Olentangy Liberty kid from here in Columbus. And it seems like their leader on the defense is Isaiah Jones, and that's a London kid.
Mm-hmm.
So two of their leaders are from Central Ohio. So, yeah, it sucks that Indiana took something from you last year, but they're a team that I think is going to be interesting to watch. I don't believe in Hoover very much, but he's got two pretty good receivers to throw to, and Charlie Becker and Nick Marsh. I mean, most early mock drafts have Charlie Becker going not just in the first round, but maybe in the first half of the first round. So he is a talented player for them. It's going to be interesting to see with that offensive line and Turbo Richard coming in from Boston College, what kind of running game they can get going.
I guess we have to start holding Indiana to some accountability.
Yeah.
We've never done this before. This schedule is shameful. This is a shameful schedule for a national champion. I'm going to read it to you. North Texas, Howard, Western Kentucky, Northwestern. That's their September. What's the smallest line? Northwestern, 18.5? I mean, then it's at Rutgers.
Even in the 20s.
It's probably in the 20s. Then it's at Rutgers, at Nebraska. They're going to be two touchdown favorites over both of those. That's seven games they play. That's six. The first six games of their season, they're going to be double-digit favorites in every one of them.
I think,
like, if you want to punch in this weight class, then you also, this coming on the heels of them bailing on the Notre Dame series in 2030 and 2031,
like, and Virginia too,
and Virginia, act accordingly a little bit. You're building. You've won a national championship. Act the part. Like, they got to be held a little bit accountable. Can you imagine if we ran this schedule out? If this was your first month and a half, the first half of the season was what I just did. Now, you're right. They got Ohio State on the 17th, and they go to at Michigan. But then it's Minnesota, USC, at Washington, and Purdue. I mean, how many games are even, would the lines be one way or another, one score or less? We don't know what Michigan's going to be. So maybe that one would be a one score or less in Ann Arbor. The Ohio State game will be a score or less, whether it's us favored or them. Minnesota, they'll be favored by more than a score. USC might be a score, maybe, depending on what USC is by the time we get to the middle of November. At Washington, might be, depending on what Washington is by the time you get to November 21st. But this is a soft schedule, man. Why get out of Virginia? Why get out of Notre Dame? Play those teams.
Yeah, Indiana would get away with it if they're able to do what they did in last year's college football playoff, where you run over Alabama, then you storm by Oregon, and you win the national championship. I love the idea of coming out of that Rutgers game into Nebraska, where, like, they'll have it at 13.5, 14.5, be like, oh, where do you think it's going to be? Like, they're going to be playing with a lot of these, because money's going to be thrown at Indiana, obviously, if you're the defending national champion, but you get away with it if you win it all. And I do think there should be some account, but not anymore. There won't be.
I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but do we give them any credit because they didn't know North Texas's whole team was going to Oklahoma State?
No, because when they scheduled it's still North Texas. Yep. I see your point. Like, if Mastermaker's there, then that's tricky. But they're not. And so, by the way, that's Big Noon. Big Noon's first month's a little tricky, guys. So Indiana, North Texas, we know that's week one. Week three is us against Kent. Week two's got to be Michigan, Oklahoma, so that's kind of their one. But that's tough sledding if you're Big Noon out of the gates. And you can see why they would put pressure on some of these teams to schedule a little bit better in the non-conference, because that ain't going to do it. Indiana, North Texas is not rating for Big Noon. So that's not the way you want to start. We'll hit the categories on the Hoosiers coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Replay this summer takes you back to some of the greatest comebacks in Ohio State football history.
Greg Fry and the Buckeyes are at Iowa in that 1990 thriller.
Hear Buckeye Replay this Saturday at 1 p.m. on The Fan.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We have plenty of sunshine in the forecast here for your Tuesday with high temperatures around 85 here this afternoon. Winds will be fairly light out of the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. On your Wednesday, we're tracking high temperatures into the upper 80s, but also looking at the chance for a few showers and storms later on in the afternoon with highs into the 80s. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. We'll read your emails on the air, but we won't tell you where to send them. Hey, we're not doing all the work for you. This is Bishop and Friends.
Well, homes here in Columbus know that August brings those aggressive yellow jackets and wasps. Who could forget Beamsy in Richmond, stung by a wasp stuck in his throat? You can avoid that. You can not wait for the invasion. You can protect your property, family, with Rose Pest Solutions Home Service Program. Rose Home Service Program delivers year-round protection for one flat annual fee, regularly scheduled visits. You don't have to worry about it. You know your home is secure from pests and rodents and everything else. Rose is local, family-owned, trusted by your neighbors in Ohio for over 165 years. Get peace of mind today. Call 800-966-ROSE or visit rosepestsolutions.com. Time for the category. Categories on the Hoosiers. All right.
That's fine.
Heard it a lot last year. Fix your potholes. Get your roads in order, please, at some point. Maybe don't take 15 years to get 70 done. Can we do that? Maybe get that sorted out so I'm not playing Frogger with potholes every year when I go to the combine. Can you do that for me? College football 2026 adaptability grade for the Hoosiers, Reese.
It's an A+. We're doing interesting programs in the year of our Lord 2026, and the Indiana Hoosiers are putting a bow on the segment.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't know how it can't be anything more than an A+, because in the most recent season of college football, they were 16-0 and the national champions. And we had to go find this music this morning because we've never had it before on 20 Most Interesting. So
we have not had it before. It's a great point. We had literally had to go find the school fight song.
Had to go record it and duplicate it multiple times so it was long enough.
So it's long enough. Stream it out. Yeah. It's an A+. They're the model. And honestly, they are. I think they're going to be... I think what Cignetti did is going to make it very difficult for other new coaches around the country, because I think a lot of people are going to get going to say, pull a Cignetti. If they did it in Indiana, why can't we do it at Oklahoma State? Why can't we do it at Florida? Why can't we do it at these places? Maybe he's 1-on-1. Maybe he's the one who could do it, and it was the combination of all of it. Uniform brand grade for Indiana, Reese.
The uniforms are fine. It's a C+, B-. Again, the brand is Indiana. I know they have the largest alumni base in the land. I still can't get over it's Indiana. But, I mean, we're talking about Indiana in 2026 going into a college football season where they'll probably be ranked in the top five. So all that kind of elevates it to a B+.
So I think the uniform sucks other than the IU. I like the IU, how they do that on the side. But I think the uniform's bad. And the brand was bad, too, but they just got their first five-star ever to commit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Cignetti is kind of the brand you're selling now, and I think that brand is better. So I'm going to meet in the middle here. I think the Cignetti brand is an A. I think the Indiana brand was probably just out of an F to a D-. I'm going to go in the middle here with all of us and give it a C.
Yeah, I think it's a decent read. I actually love the IU monogram. I think it looks awesome. It looks awesome on a ball cap. It looks awesome. I just think it looks cool. It is interesting because, like, in my head, in my mind's eye, Indiana, from a basketball perspective, like with Bob Knight, was a little bit more red than they were crimson. They were more like red and white is what they seemed to me, but I don't know if that was just television or manufacturer. I have no idea, but they have the exact same colors as Oklahoma. So, I mean, and their uniforms look very similar to Oklahoma's. I think you guys kind of sussed it out correctly, that the Cignetti brand is an A+. The Indiana football brand historically is an F. It's gravitating up. So I'm going to go B-, because I think it's obviously headed in the right direction and it's only better going forward. Historical player you'd pick for this Indiana team?
I know they got their quarterback, but boy, would Antoine Randle L. be a lot of fun on this team. Probably the best Indiana football player of all time, I guess, in the pre-Kurt Cignetti era. I didn't know this about Randle L. He's the Bears' assistant head coach.
Oh, how about it?
So, I thought about going running back here, because they've had a couple good ones. I will always remember Anthony Thompson, because he beat Ohio State in 1988. And Tevin Coleman was a dog for them. But I think the correct answer, Reese, is Antoine Randle L. I think Kurt Cignetti would have a lot of fun with him. So I think it's Randle L.
I mean, you could just do Mendoza, too, and just run him back.
Don't forget they had Michael Penix.
They did. They had Penix, too, yeah. Better at Washington. I'm going to go Anthony Thompson just from the standpoint of that was the last time Indiana beat Ohio State before they beat him last year in the Big Ten championship game. Anthony Thompson's last 2 years, and his career at Indiana is nuts. His last 2 years as a junior, 1686, 26, what he had, 26 touchdowns. He ended with that year, and then the following year, it's 1797 and 24 touchdowns. Just a massive,
massive season for him. So I think you paratroop him in on this team and look out. You're ready to go. Would they get an official visit from Vince Howard, Reese?
I don't think so.
I think that's the right read.
I don't believe so, but I think they're trending in the right direction for it.
Well, what would be really interesting for them, and you mentioned, we talked a little bit earlier this week, and you mentioned it just a second ago, Bake, like, will they now put the onus on high school recruiting? Because they haven't done that yet. They're starting to do that now. It's been all portal. Will they try to develop their own superstars that they recruit and that they bring along and now elevate the level of player that they get there? Beating the Ohio State on a wide receiver, that's notable. Coach grade for Cignetti, Reese.
It's an A++. That wide receiver you mentioned, that five-star wide receiver committed on the Pat McAfee show.
Yeah,
there you go. To Indiana.
Yeah, it doesn't. Whatever the highest grade you can give, that's what Cignetti gets.
Yeah, I concur. I'm begrudgingly going to have to voice the 30 for 30 on all of this. I can see it coming. But yeah, he's an A+. He's crushed it in every way possible.
Simple. I win. Ugh. Google me.
I had to get it in once.
So he made that comment on December 23rd of 2023, and that's my sliding door moment.
That's it, right?
He was hired on the 30th of November. And then less than a month later, he made that comment that Baker plays all the time. And that's one of the ultimate sliding door moments in the history of college football, in my opinion.
It's absolutely the hiring of Kurt Cignetti and everything that has come with it. The Ohio State sucks. Michigan sucks. Purdue sucks. I win. Google me. The bobblehead that'll hopefully be sent to us in September. One for me, one for Bo. This was the worst program in the history of Division I college football.
Yeah.
And they won a national championship in 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's a door they walked through. So it's not a door that they missed. I do think that this isn't necessarily sliding doors, but I do think that they were slowly building to this type of spot. And I do want to give some credit to Kevin Wilson for stabilizing that program a little bit when he was there. Tom Allen kind of kept it there. Then it really fell off at the end of Allen in the early 2020s. But he had a couple of years. At one point in 2020, they were ranked 7th in the country, finished 6-2 that year. That was Penix was there, and I think they beat Penn State that year. So there was a little bit of juice to him. But the sliding doors moment that they walked through was the perfect storm of hiring Kurt Cignetti and NIL being in effect with free transfer and everything else. That's it. This is a team that was not ranked in any year from 19, not ranked at all in any year from 1995 to 2019. None. Zero. There's stretches like that in their history. Not even a single instance of being ranked. I mean, that's how crazy and how bad this has been. It's the losiest program in the history of college football. So it's crazy what he's done there. Win it all, make the playoff too soon, or flame out for the Indiana Hoosiers.
This team can defend. They can defend their national championship.
I don't think they can. I do think they can make the college football playoff, but I don't think this is a national championship team.
It's right in there. I think they're definitely making the playoff. The schedule's way too easy. They got like 8 wins without even stepping off the bus. Then all they have to do is split the other 4. They're going to go 10-2. They're going to make the playoff. So that is a given. I'm going to reserve win it all just until I see Hoover play in that offense. But I do think that they have kind of the components necessary. And while they're not as ready-made as like Ohio State, Oregon, maybe Texas, and certainly Georgia, maybe not even Notre Dame, they're the best of the next group. And they're right there. And so, yeah, I mean, would I be shocked if they were back in the mix? I am done doubting the dude. I just am done with it. I think he's that good of a coach. And I think their roster's pretty good this year. It's just really going to come down to Hoover. Jacob Goins is our buddy over in Bloomington. He covers the Hoosiers at Locked On Hoosiers. He joins us in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the
show. The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Cosby Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Find us on YouTube. Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like. But only if you subscribe. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, let's get some perspective on one of our 20 most interesting programs of 2026. They're defending national champion Indiana Hoosiers. When we talk Hoosiers football, we like to do so with our buddy Jacob Goins, covers the Hoosiers at Locked On Hoosiers. Before we get into this year, now that you've had 7 months to kind of reflect on everything and the magic carpet ride that was the 2020-25 season, Jacob, when did you know that that one had a chance to be as special as it ended up being? And in retrospect, what was that ride like covering that team?
Yeah, it was a ton of fun, man, and glad to be back on and glad that we're going to have the chance to talk real football, right, as we have games being played this month and fall camps are opening up all over the place. But, man, last year was it was a magic carpet ride. I love the way you described that because it was just so magical, and it was a thing that we were excited for it and the fans were expecting big things, but nobody was expecting a national championship. I think everybody wanted another taste of the college football playoff, right? They had gotten it the year before, didn't play good against Notre Dame on the road, and really were out of it in the first quarter right after a big run from Notre Dame. And so I think fans wanted another taste of that. But then it was the Illinois game is the one that I always bring up, right? Mm-hmm. Early in the season, at night, in Bloomington, a top 10 Illinois team comes into Memorial Stadium, and it was one of, if not the biggest game in that stadium's history up to that point, because, man, the hype was there and a top 25 game, and, man, everybody was picking Illinois. If you remember, mm-hmm. nobody gave Indiana a chance in that game, but I said, I'm telling you, the Hoosiers roster is different this year, and Indiana just blew them out of the water. That moment right there was like, okay, this team is pretty special, and then they just kept going, and they kept building, and then you go on the road to Iowa and win an ugly game. You go on the road to Penn State and win an ugly game, and it was like, okay, this team's got a shot, and then, of course, they go on to win it all. So, yeah, last year was a ton of fun, and I think fans are expecting something similar this year.
Jacob, what has Kurt Cicinetti done at Indiana? I'm not talking about wins and losses, but just the way he goes about his business. What has he figured out at Indiana with football that even, I mean, for example, like Indiana basketball coaches haven't been able to figure out since really Bob Knight. What is the magic sauce with Cicinetti that has got him to really resonate as well as he has? Obviously, the winning helps, but before the winning, he resonated. What has made him different?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think with Cicinetti, right, he actually gave us a little bit of insight to this last week in Chicago at Big Ten Media Days. He said, look, we're not changing. And he was talking about going into this upcoming season. He said, we're not changing anything that we've done for the last 8 or 9 years. He said, nothing is different. We've done the same thing everywhere we've been. And that's talking about him and his coaching staff and his players, right? He said, we're not changing anything or doing anything different. Now we're just doing it on the biggest stage. And so I think he figured out early on that don't overcomplicate it, right? Don't dive into the weeds on things and go and get players that fit what you're trying to do, right? That's one thing that Indiana in this 2 year vacuum window here, they've gone after players, whether it be high school recruiting or the transfer portal, they go after players that they believe fit their system, they believe fit their culture, and they believe fit their program. And they did that at James Madison. Of course, a lot of those guys came to Indiana, and now they're building that here in Bloomington. And so I feel like Kurt Cicinetti doesn't overcomplicate it. And you can see that with his coordinators in terms of the X's and O's, right? Indiana doesn't do anything overly fancy on offense or on defense, but discipline, consistency, and showing up every day is pretty much what Indiana does. And it's so basic, right? And it's so mm-hmm. generic. And you're like, okay, doesn't everybody do that? But clearly Indiana's doing it at a different level. And I mean, it comes down to the cleats that you're wearing, right? We heard the stories about Nick Marsh on day one of spring practice getting tossed because he wore gold cleats, right? Yep. You hear things about guys who don't show up. And we got some thoughts and comments from him again last week at Chicago about some guys who are trying to figure out partying on the weekends and playing at the same time. And he says, yeah, that doesn't fly here. That's not going to work. And so it really is just hardcore discipline and don't overcomplicate it. And so far, so good for Kurt Cicinetti here in Bloomington.
So far, so great. And then he has this stuff in Chicago where he goes at the SEC. Like, I love this. I covered Spurrier years ago. He reminds me a little bit of Spurrier a little bit with the way he is. I mean, I love all of it. Jacob, the only thing that I do think is critical, and I don't know what his saying on this is, and this kind of dovetails into the conversation about this season. I mean, this schedule is a joke. it's a joke. And I if maybe your reporting's different, but like them not playing Notre Dame in a couple of years, Virginia off the schedule. When you win a national title, shouldn't you schedule appropriately a little bit here? Can you give me some thoughts on the thinking with what they're not doing with their schedule?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely hear the noise and hear the takes and totally understand where so many people, especially in the South, but not everybody, clearly here in the North too, about this the non-conference schedule for Indiana. I mean, this year it's North Texas, Howard, and Western Kentucky, right? Future years, you've got Western Kentucky on it again, Delaware State's on there, you know, things like Howard and things like that. But and, you know, played Old Dominion last year, Kennesaw State on that schedule too. Like, I get it. I totally understand. And Indiana has basically taken the mindset, a reminder, that Notre Dame series was actually signed back in 2021 before Kurt Cignetti got there. So this is definitely something of Cignetti's doing, right? I don't think anybody is denying that, but they have just figured out, at least again, in this two-year vacuum, why play tough non-conference games on top of a tough nine-game Big Ten schedule? And for me personally, man, I don't like it. I would rather play a big-time non-conference game and power conference. I think that's good for college football. I think it's good for the sport. I think it's good for the fans, right? But I understand from a coaching perspective of, man, why would we put our guys through another brutal game on top of the nine-game schedule, on top of possibly a Big Ten championship game, on top of an expanded college football playoff? Like, there's just too many difficult games on the schedule. And so Indiana has taken the mindset of, we're going to take these gimme games when we can. We're going to work on things. We're going to get comfortable. We're going to stay as healthy as possible. And then we're going to try and run the table in conference play. I don't love it. Again, I personally don't love it. I would rather see, of those three non-conference games, right, North Texas, Howard, and Western Kentucky, my opinion is take one of those off the schedule completely and replace another one with a non-conference power four game. Keep one cupcake game, right? Get your game to start the season, do whatever. Play a big-time game for fun. Do a home-and-home, right? You get to welcome a Notre Dame or whoever to Bloomington, and then you get to go to their place and then replace and then play your Big Ten schedule. Like, that's what college football should be, but Indiana's decided this is what works and this is what they want to do. And, of course, there's a lot of drama around the Notre Dame stuff as of yesterday afternoon.
I imagine that there is. Jacob Goins, our guest, Locked On Hoosiers. All right, I'm looking at this roster. I think they're right back in it. I'd be shocked if they don't make the playoff. To me, they're going to go 10-2 in their sleep. Could be better. I think they could be a team that wins it, but that's from 30,000 feet. From my perspective, Jacob, it feels like if Hoover is pretty good, this team will be really good. What have you heard on him, and what is the expectation for him this year?
Yeah, obviously his numbers at TCU a year ago were very good. Were they great Heisman winning? No, but they were very solid. But I also think that TCU team that he was playing with, right, especially on the offensive side of the football, his offensive line was decent. It wasn't great. His running backs were decent, not great. Receivers, decent, not great, right? He was on the run quite a bit. And the big knock on him is the turnovers, right? The interceptions, because he does have a tendency, when you go back and watch his film, to kind of throw the hero ball, try to squeeze it into tight windows and force some things that just simply aren't there. But it's because he had to do almost everything. Their defense, we know how that is in the Big 12. It's just not good. You got to score 35 points a game to have a shot. And so I really think that Josh Hoover was asked to do everything in his career at TCU. I believe he will not have to do that here in Bloomington. I think the running game, the running back room, I think is super, super deep for the Hoosiers. Mm-hmm. I think it's the best room in the Big Ten. Do they have a Bo Jackson? No, but they've got three dudes who I think could start at any school in this conference. So I think the running back room is solid. Obviously, the receiver room is the highlight, with Charlie Becker and Nick Marsh and a couple of other guys I think are going to have great seasons. And I think Indiana's got a top five offensive line in college football. So I think it will be so much smoother sailing for Josh Hoover in this offense. And we've seen Kurt Cignetti and Mike Shanahan take quarterbacks and make them comfortable and turn them into championship level guys. So I think that is the expectation for sure. but he is the X factor. And yeah, you could say that about every quarterback on every football team, but all the other boxes are checked for me, man. The defensive line is nasty. Starting linebackers are returning other than Aiden Fisher. Secondary is going to be absolutely filthy. And then all the things on offense that I just mentioned. So it really does come down to, can Josh Hoover deliver like Curtis Rourke did and like Fernando Mendoza did? Because I think if you just had a grayed out, no name, middle of the pack quarterback on this Indiana team, I think 10 wins, like you said, is absolutely on the table. But if you put Josh Hoover into a Heisman conversation, Indiana could win 11 games. They could be a top three team, and they're a favorite to win the national title again. So I think it all revolves on Josh Hoover if Indiana wants to compete for another championship.
Jake, I've got about 30 seconds. Get you out of here on this one. What standard will you judge this team to?
Ooh, championship standard. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm talking week one all the way to the Purdue game into the college football playoffs. How quickly can they look like a championship team this season? That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, it's a loaded roster, man, and a loaded program. It's fun. It's going to be really fun. Always appreciate your time. Thanks for giving us a little bit of it today.
Yeah, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
All right, there he goes. Jacob Goins, Locked On Hoosiers on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Get you three things on a Tuesday. Up next, Bishop and Friends right here on
Steve Football. Training Camp Report.
And this report is brought to you by Safelite Auto Glass as well as Bob's Discount Furniture. As Ohio State gets ready to get down to business for the 2026 football season, head coach Ryan Day talks about one of the things that makes Ohio State and the football program so special, and it's the commitment and the consistency from his coaching staff and other staff personnel.
They understand what it means to be at Ohio State. They understand what it means to be a Buckeye, and they've poured into our players. And we have great stability within our program, and that's because of our coaches, Mick Marotti, Mark Pantone, Larry Johnson. These guys have been at Ohio State for 15 years, and so that stability is critical, and that shows their loyalty, how much they love Ohio State, but also the commitment we have to them.
Dave says that as he begins his eighth year as head coach at Ohio State and his 10th in Columbus. We'll have more right after this.
Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Bob's Discount Furniture, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safelite Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at safelight.com. Safelite Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Safelight Repair, Safelight Replace.
This is the Ohio State Sports Network, presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center,
the team physicians for Ohio State Athletics.
We previously heard Ryan Day talking about how the success and consistency of his coaching staff has been a big reason why they've been able to have success. He also took the opportunity at Big Ten Media today to show the respect he has for the Big Ten coaches as a whole, especially when you consider four new coaches.
Our coaches within the Big Ten is as strong as I've seen since I've been in the Big Ten. When you sit in the meetings and Tony's in there, he listens. You know, we go in there, we vent, we talk about a lot of things, we complain. It's part of the job with all the change that goes on, and he can't fix everything, but he's listening, and he's going to do what he can when he leaves to get those things addressed. But I can't tell you how much respect I have for their 17 guys in that room. When you look all the way up and down the entire conference, this is as strong as it's been. And I got a lot of respect for the guys in that room.
And that was referenced also to Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti. Buckeyes open the season Labor Day weekend against Ball State. We'll have another report tomorrow. This is Paul Keels on the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
For the ones to sail Buckeye Nation, join us February 19th to February 26th, 2027, as we celebrate the 20th anniversary of the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer out of Barbados on the Silver Sea, Silver Ray. Meet more than 35 Buckeye greats plus some of your favorite current Buckeyes, all while making memories and helping beat cancer. You don't want to miss this ultimate Buckeye fan experience. We can't wait to see you on board. Let's celebrate 20 years of making a difference. Visit BuckeyeCruise.com for more information.
Paul Keels here, voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes. You have to check out the brand new AAA Buckeyes MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, such as 24/7 roadside assistance, plus chances to win tickets to Buckeyes sporting events, access to exclusive MVP experiences, along with 10% off gear at the Ohio State Team Shop. Already a AAA member? Add the Buckeye MVP membership upgrade for free. Head to AAA.com/Buckeyes to join the squad and put your fandom in drive.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Connect with the show on X at 971-BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, before we get to the poll, we talked about the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So Sporting News did their 90s All-American team today. Just one Buckeye on that roster. That, of course, is O. Pace. Be honest, not sure where else you'd put. It's loaded. Tommy Frazier, a quarterback. Ricky Williams, Ron Dayne are the running backs. Desmond and Randy Moss are the receivers. As I mentioned, Pace up front. Rocket Ishmael is the all-purpose player. On the defensive side, the D-line is Empman, Sapp, Waldrop, and Zordich. The linebackers are Lewis, Marvin Shadetree, Jones, maybe the best nickname ever. LeVar Arrington as well. Charles Woodson, Champ Bailey, Lawyer Malloy, Ken Swilling. Pretty loaded. Pretty loaded group in the 1990s. So a Buckeye represented there. And then the 2000s will be interesting. Tommy Frazier's an interesting one for people who didn't live through it. You'd have to live through 90s Nebraska to understand the greatness of Tommy Frazier, I think, a little bit, because statistically it wouldn't show up. Reese, what do you have in the poll today?
Daily Fan Poll sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. It asks, since 2000, which Ohio pro sports franchise has been managed the worst? Your options are Blue Jackets, Browns, Reds, or other. 52% say the Cleveland Browns. 30% say the Blue Jackets. 17% say the Reds.
I mean, it can't be. I don't know that it could be the. I mean, it's the Blue Jackets made. I guess the Blue Jackets have. Where would the Reds be on that? How many times have they made the playoffs since 2000?
Since 2000, 2010, 2012.
Maybe twice.
They made the playoffs last year.
Oh, yeah.
They made the playoffs the COVID year.
Making the playoffs this year?
A couple of times then. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, Browns have made the playoffs twice. One playoff win in Pittsburgh. Yeah, but it's a lot of bad before that. So, yeah, I can see that.
This was already going to be one of my three things, but it makes me even sadder.
Let's go to three things.
One, two, three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
So, number one for me, here is Exhibit A of just how selfish 14-year-olds can be, not always in the worst way, although sometimes. So, NBC has 4:30 to 9:30 football practice. So, they're doing a big five-hour block of football practice. He's got a whole other week of it. Did it to start, but he's in the middle of it now. He calls me last night in the middle of a break. They had like a lunch break thing. And so, he called me in the break, and he goes, first of all, I pick up right away. I'm like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. Do you think that me and my buddy can go to Spider-Man tonight after practice? I said, you got to practice at 9:30. You're going to go to a 10:05 showing of a 2-hour and 35-minute movie. That means someone's going to have to come get you at 12:45 in the morning. No, you can't do that. Bozo. This is what they do.
Yeah, I can't confirm or deny I made similar requests to my parents when I was that age. It's just similar ridiculous requests. Where
it's like middle of the night, dude.
Yeah. That brings me to my first thing, just looking at the movies that have been released this summer. Been two pretty big ones along with that Spider-Man film. In 2 days, Spider-Man Brand New Day made what The Odyssey made in 2 weeks. Now, that's not saying one's a better film, but Spider-Man in 2 days made $927 million. The Odyssey's at $911. Again, that's films, I think, through Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an incredible amount of money for those two films. And The Odyssey, obviously, a longer film. I think there's an R rating attached to it. Spider-Man, everybody knows Spider-Man PG-13, much easier to see, but just incredible amount of money made by two films in like a month and a half.
I think, and then you had Project Hail Mary. I think the movies are back. I think they're back. People like going again. And Tom Holland's pretty damn good as the Spider-Man.
In both of them, he is.
All of them. I think this is his fourth one. Yeah. Oh, he's good in Odyssey, too.
He's in the Odyssey.
Yeah, that's right. He's in that, too. Nice summer for him.
First thing for me, being a Browns, Reds, and Blue Jackets fan, which, by the way, you can hear all right here on The Fan. I'm used to being disappointed, but yesterday's trade deadline really got me because the Reds didn't do anything to make themselves better for this year, which I didn't expect them to, as they're 5.5 games out of a wild card spot. They didn't do anything to make themselves better next year, and they didn't do anything to make themselves better in the future, and they had assets that they could trade that could have made them better. And I don't know if signing Brady Singer or Tyler Stevenson or Geno Suarez for next year makes you a better team. So all of the stuff with the Blue Jackets here this year, and it doesn't seem like they've gotten any better, and Adam Fantilli still isn't signed, which is something I don't think we're talking about enough. And then the Browns, I was starting to have a little hope with them, and then I've heard from multiple people that Dylan Gabriel is the best quarterback in practice so far, and there's obvious limitations with him in a game. I'm just really bummed out as a fan right now.
It's tough. Tough sledding.
Two of the three haven't played games.
I feel like a beaten dog.
Man.
Already. Real quick, number two for me, and I think we're only going to get two today. So my wife has decided that she's going to do the boys a little preschool, before school starts, like refresher academically. So she's got a tutor and they're kind of going through some things. On a scale of 1 to 10, what do you think Bootsy's enthusiasm was to go to the tutor at 9 a.m. this morning?
Negative
1,000.
A billion. Just a negative a billion. Just, I finally had to get him to settle down. I said, if you don't go to this, you can't go to Buckeye Camp with me on Thursday. So lock it up.
So for just mentioning that they were thinking of breaching their contract with the Rose Bowl, the city of Pasadena sued UCLA, and that court case is scheduled for September. UCLA has tried to get the case dismissed five times, and it's been denied. So just for saying, because their contract runs to 2043, just for saying we're thinking about it, Pasadena's like, no, you sure aren't. Yeah.
Final thing for me, don't go anywhere. Rothman and Ice coming up next. They'll get the mood back up. Dave Biddle going to join them and talk some Buckeyes at 12:30. Tyvis Powell, our friend, joins them at 1:30.
You have that to look forward to, which is very, very nice. We are back tomorrow. Bishop and Friends right here.